welcome to Insect and Hydroponic Farming in Africa, the new circular food economy. This event is streaming on World Bank Live at live.worldbank.org. We're here to discuss the potential of farming insects and hydroponic plants to increase the world's food security in a changing climate. A new groundbreaking World Bank report says that farming insects and hydroponic plants could be one of our best solutions. Today's event will begin with some thoughts from Jürgen Fögele, World Bank Vice President for Sustainable Development.
I'm actually really pleased to be here today to talk about insect farming and hydroponic crops. I'm quite excited to see the World Bank mobilize new evidence and fresh experience that promotes sustainability and sustainable jobs. And that we urgently need new ideas and new practices to produce more nutritious food in a more sustainable way. You know, as you've seen in the video clip, it's not new to eat insects.
Let's hear now in more detail about the potential of insect and hydroponic farming in Africa from the report's lead author, Dorothy Werner.
This report is still wet, so why don't I move to the PowerPoint that is a little bit drier? Ants are hard to catch, but even harder to prevent from running out of the pan when you cook them. Globally, 1 to 2 billion people eat insects that are mostly collected in the wild. And there's a market for insects. Insects are delicious and nutritious. They are a source of high quality protein.
Let's turn now then to some of the people leading change in this area and give a very warm welcome indeed to our panel of guests for today. As well as Dorothy Werner, we're joined by Martine van Nieuwkop, World Bank Global Director for Agriculture and Global Food Practice. Rauf Mazou is also with us. He's Assistant High Commissioner for Operations in the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
It's a mistake looking back because, you know, the infrastructure bill that was passed was cleaved apart from what's now being called Build Back Better. And in a sense, it's a bill that's like a white guy employment act, right? There's going to be a lot of working class men that are going to get employed by that bill. But that's the very cohort that is much more likely to reward Republicans for that. That's who they vote for. Most, you know, working class white guys vote Republican. Meanwhile, all the stuff for...
Laboratory leak. Yeah. Laboratory leak.
Yeah, it ain't going to do nothing. Okay, what are you looking at?
God! Brought to you by me.
At Davos a few years ago, you know, the Edelman survey showed us that the good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more. So we can come together and design and do beautiful things together. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less. So we can lead, but...
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here this Friday. It is the 21st of January, 2022. It's good to see you all. Thank you for joining us live or watching later on in the archives. I'm Henrik. Lana's with me here as well.
Yeah. So what happened with that clip there? It was
which clip?
The punching? Like, what was going on
there? That was many. It was just a little supercut there. Something for you guys to enjoy. You know, some bug stuff, some meta stuff. But as we said. But anyway. All right. So what's going on today? We have a bunch of stuff lined up, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of breaking things that's happening today, in fact. We'll get to some of that, too. A number of things have occurred today. We are going to cover that. And, I guess formalities real quick. Enterprestream.live/RedEyesTV if you want to join us over there. Super chats. We read those on the air. Helps us to, to produce the show. It supports the show. Helps to pay the bills around here and help us to expand as well. We thank you for that. Odyssey is open as well. I do have finally a chat open for that. So maybe I can keep an eye on it this time. Odyssey.com/@RedEyesTV. And also just real quick mention here about the Subscribestar thing. So we did a little poll, right? Because we passed the first kind of, the first little goal.
Tier that you wanted,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, first goal that we had for Subscribestar 300. And so we put up a little poll up there. So right now, video on specific topic is winning. So, you recommend that I bake some cookies or something. That might be the video that wins out. we'll have to see. But we'll do a sub poll.
I doubt that's the one people would request. But yeah, I think we should do that, and we should do a call-in show.
No, I said that too early. It's like we should do that anyway. It was just like I wanted some options on there. You know what I mean? But so what we'll do is we'll do a sub poll. We might just do a like open it up for comments, or maybe we'll ask you guys to send us an email, and then we'll pick like the top 10 or something that we think is.
And it'll be like this mega hard topic. Well, that's like a whole documentary, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll do what we can do depending on what the topic is, right? Yeah. The transformation of the Jewish question in the 1850s. how did it transform over? Just being a little facetious here. But anyway, so we'll see what wins out. But thank you again, by the way. We do appreciate your support. RedIceMembers.com. We got to plug that. But anyway, should we talk about the first?
Yeah, I thought that this was funny. Gavin Newsom. He was at the side of this whole. You know what's going on with the trains being derailed because there's so much debris and garbage on the train tracks because foreigners are breaking into these trains and stealing Amazon packages and mail and stuff. I've had several packages that have gone missing that were in transit from California, so they're probably there somewhere in that trash heap where they took it home to their house. Anyway, Gavin Newsom went out to the site, the governor, and he's like, what the hell is going on? This looks like a third world country. Like, it's a newsflash to him that this is what lefty liberal politics creates, you idiot. It creates a third world dumping ground. So anyway, we could play the clip.
Tok said, let me in particular say all the men and women in orange and yellow for their outstanding work and for moving quickly. I mean, just less than 48 hours ago, we said we're coming down. Let's set this thing up. We had all the lawyers say, well, hold on. It's not your property. You get injured. I mean, every conceivable thing that makes you frustrated and crazy about government bureaucracy was at play.
Liberals,
but everybody worked
that
together. They worked through those issues. We got this memorandum of understanding, and we created a new framework of understanding about our mutual responsibility to address what the hell's going on here. And I say that with emphasis. I see what you see. I see what you've been covering.
Gee, what's going on there in L.A.?
Asking myself, what the hell is going on? We look like a third world country, these images, the drone images that are on the nightly news, day in and day out. Some networks weaponizing them for their own political agenda, and others just reporting
the just a fact.
Fairly and appropriately. And all I can say is...
And then I love it, too, when...
We need,
you want to jump in?
No, wait. No,
to recognize our collective and individual responsibility to do more and start supporting one another to address these issues.
All right.
How about just close the borders down and stop having these like super liberal policies? In California, you can just go into a store and steal stuff. And if it's under a certain amount, was it under $1,000, they won't charge you. So they just like walk right out. I love it, too, how when the news crews have shown up to go check things out, there's usually a Mexican running away from the scene with some package.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is the overhead shot there of the derailed train, right? And here's the... I'm getting a little lag on the videos here, but let me see if I can play this here real quick. Look at this.
We didn't have this happening all this time in L.A., and now the more enriched we get.
Yep. But then, like, it looks like a third world country. That's very highly racist of him to say that. And again, then he talked about, like, how some right-wing channels is weaponizing that. But the fact is, like...
They're just reporting the fact.
You just admitted it yourself. Like, you're turning it literally into a third world country, California, because of your policies. You dummy. But this is what you get. Sometimes you wonder... Are they just like pretend now? They're pretending that all of a sudden they're, whoa, what
see,
happened?
Yeah, this guy, you know, that he just gallivants from one, you know, nice LA neighborhood to the next LA neighborhood to some, you know, high end party to the next high end party.
Yeah, a chopper
so
in
it's a newsflash to him that the rest of LA is a shithole.
Yeah.
You know, he's like just realizing that.
Again, emphasizing that point. There is so much debris because of the theft of these carts, the trailers, right? Ultimately, that's being robbed. That the trains are derailing. That's how bad it is.
I mean, and it's funny how we get called a racist when we talk about all the trash they leave at the border. Now it's all the trash they leave in our country too.
There you go.
So here you go. You import in the third world. You become the third world. Is it
amazing.
A newsflash to you yet?
Sometimes
mind
I think
blown.
That, sometimes Shut up, Newsom. Sometimes I think they're kind of pretending that they're like, oh, it's just, we didn't know it's going to happen. Sometimes I think they're just being disingenuous. They actually know this, but they're just pretending like that this has caught them out of left field. You know, I don't know what's going on. What even happened?
And then it's so typical on top of it, just like government BS. They can't just go there and take care of business and clean the tracks. It's like they have to go through five government agencies before they can put trash in a bag, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Well, rip Meatloaf. Or as they call him, Bob Paulson, right? That was his famous role in Fight Club. Remember that? He had these huge titties.
Was he in that? I don't even know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. He was some guy in Fight Club battling testicular cancer, I believe. And then he was taking some hormones, which I think
grew
his gynecomastia.
That's right. And they were making fun of it in that, which nowadays you couldn't do that. Right?
Well, you do remember that Chuck Palahniuk, the author of that book, he's really, really gay, by the way.
Okay.
So it puts that line out of Fight Club, but maybe another woman is not what we need in a new perspective when you realize this was basically kind of a gay club that he was promoting. But I still, it is actually a good movie. It is actually good, but there's as usual, it's Hollywood, so you're going to get a bunch of subversive, you know, crap in it, but
as usual.
Decent. Yep.
So of course I've heard, oh my gosh, he died of COVID because he was an anti-vaxxer, right? And then the other side is like, did he take the vax? Is that why he died? You know, so that's what everyone's fighting over.
Yep.
About this one, because he was in Australia and was, did some talk or something about being against the vaccine mandate and whatnot. He was skeptical of vaccines and stuff. So right away, the left has to be like, he died of COVID. It's because he didn't get the jab, not because of any other health issues. And they don't really know if he got the jab or not, or his health issues.
Pure Nomad says it's 2022. They nerfed Meatloaf. It's all about plant-based loaf now. there'll be, when they rewrite the history books, it will not be Meatloaf. It'll be a Beyond Meatloaf or something like that. So he had this. So this is, you know, this is the song he got big out of, right? Bat Out of Hell. What is that about again? With the latest delay? Because he died of COVID. You know, did he take the vaccine? Finding the bat droppings in a cave in China, right? Bat Out of Hell, that's where it is, right? Even the B-side of Bat Out of Hell was Heaven Can't Wait. And even Jim Steinman, who was the, he wrote that together with, I believe, right? Actually, it was written by him entirely. He died last year, one day before an Austrian painter died, by the way. The 19th of April, 2021, he died. So I'm not sure what's going on here. Maybe some synchromistic thing happening here. But I don't know. Bat Out of Hell, that's kind of the song that that made him big, basically. Do you like Meatloaf? Do you like some of the, not the dish, but the guy?
Well, I like Meatloaf, not so much the song. The songs are kind of
dramatic.
I mean, dramatic. Theater. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. You know, I remember the video, I would do anything for love, but I won't do anything. I have memories of that, and everyone's always like, what is that? And then he clarified, it's in the verse. I say the line, and that's the thing that I'm talking about. That's that.
Right. That's that.
And I saw there were, someone should have done a parody, but people were suggesting songs for, you know, like anti-vaxxers or whatever. And this was one of them, right?
Taking the jab.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Get the jab, yeah.
Again, I think Bat Out of Hell, that just, you don't have to do anything with that. Just play that. That's where we're at right now. The Bat Out of Hell. I mean, I'm being kind of joking.
Are you going to play the chorus? I'm going to play the chorus.
Of this one here?
The other one.
Now?
I would do anything for love. The awesome music video?
We could play it at the end. Well, I'll pull it up then, you know, so anyway. Yeah. Okay, another thing that's happening too, by the way, is that we have a British court, it's coming up, it's in 3 days here, but a British court's going to decide on the possible extradition of Julian Assange over to the U.S., and I think they're going to do it. We'll see what happens, but I definitely think they're going to do that.
Yeah, they want to make him pay, insane. For sure.
What are you going to say? What are you going to do? I mean,
I should get caught up on a couple things here. Niflheim 2066. Good evening, Pure Bloods.
Yes. Good evening, Pure Bloods.
Vaccine free here.
Yep.
Cuck free zone. Hello, friends. Happy Friday. All stay good strong and keep moving forward. Hail our people. That is right.
Thank you, man. Good to see you.
Black Phillip says, bad news. Now hospitals are injecting you with soy food if you are passed out. Remember, you can always have next of kin advocate for you if comatose and can refuse meds and procedures. And he has a link to, and I've seen this too, they're feeding you intravenously with basically soy oils. Seed oils.
Well,
that's
basically the
same
thing, right?
Yeah, vegetable oils, which are carcinogenic and toxic for you.
Was this from Lycan?
Black Phillip.
Black Phillip. Okay. Yeah. Let me just pull.
Yeah, I have seen some of the foods that they, you know, do the bags, the feeding bags, like when they feed you through a tube.
Yeah.
The ingredients is just like, okay, they're killing the people. They want to kill you.
Well,
I mean, the fact that hospital food is so bad.
So Mike Adams.
There's soybean right in there.
Yeah, Mike Adams from there it is right there, folks. Mike Adams from Natural News. I think he was like collecting some data and research on this or whatever. But he had a theory of why there's so many sports, like athletes and sports people that have collapsed, heart issues, obviously in the wake of the jabs, right, and the boosters and stuff. And he said that why does it hit some and not others? Of course, we have the howbadismybatch.com. We covered that too. So there's, you know, not, it isn't random, actually. It's like very specific to certain lots or batches. But he said that there might be an interaction with your heart, because it is so bad for your heart, with these seed oils, right? So some of the people are like, I'm healthy and I'm fit. I'm an athlete. I don't do butter or cream. I do, you know, I do soybean oil or canola oil or something.
Should do the opposite.
Right? Yeah, which is, you know, bad for you. But that would just put a different spin on this. That's what I'm saying. That like they're actually trying to kill you with the very food that you're being food. But you know what I mean?
It's like, well, of course, soybean oil, and it's going to be GMO and all this other crap that's in there. And I've seen other food bags that are even worse, if you can imagine. It's just like giving people Jello. Or here's some wheat sugar, crackers basically, and fake orange juice. Like, yeah. They don't care about your health.
They do not. Thank you for that link. That was interesting, Black Phillip.
Cuck-free zone, where was that opening video from?
Which one of them?
anti-white one, I'm sure.
We can link it up on our Telegram. It was from, I think it was BS News on Telegram that had that one, if that's the one you're asking for. Otherwise, there was a couple of randoms here. If it's the bug one, I think I can link those up on the Telegram. So make sure you follow us over there. Make sure that those are there after the show.
Kind of remind me of my next video that I'm working on too. Short and sweet. Lichen Warrior, Ron DeSantis invokes MLK to justify bill banning anything that causes white discomfort.
Oh, man.
I'll have to look at this.
Yeah, I haven't. Is it a,
I'll look at it later. Ron DeSantis. Yeah, it's actually what he says. It causes white discomfort. Florida continues to be a very reasonable and sane state. Is Ron DeSantis back bill to prohibit public schools and businesses from making white people feel discomfort? Okay, well, which is, well, of course, they're putting that down, right? About feeling discomfort. It's about pushing just anti-white hatred, right? But why do you have to mention MLK?
Because
can't you just take your own side and just be like, it is wrong to crap all over white people, single them out, blame them for everything?
No. They, these MAGA boomers, they can't do anything else than to invoke MLK. It is their saint. They're falling for it. And again, why they're doing all these things, bending over backwards, to prove to these leftists and liberals how not racist they are, right? This is their biggest concern that they have in the world, to appease their opponents that want them dead.
I saw a great post the other day. We'll have to share about myths about MLK that were just demystified about who this guy really was. Yeah. So a lot of these conservatives, they really need to get a dose of that reality.
I think still on the website, the Beast as Saint, the really good, like 20 minutes long, just breaks all of it down, like, you know, how horrible he was and stuff. But
not anti-communist, not a Christian, not an anti-racist. He was none of those things. Tim says...
He was a communist.
I said not an anti-communist, right? Tim, hey, Henrik and Lana, have you looked into this? I have to look. Regarding Schwab, not sure about it, not trying to press you to anything, but I would love Joe Atwill as a guest regarding COVID. God bless you guys. Let me see what the link was.
Yeah, I saw that he was, it's funny, he was just talking about...
it's about the World Economic Forum.
Joe Atwill the other day. Article. Is this written by Joe Atwill, or why does that come up?
No, it's by someone else.
Okay. Maybe Joe Atwill is mentioned in the article here. But anyway, he was on Adam Green's show here the other day.
Oh, really?
Caesar's Messiah. He has a good, you know, interesting work.
Oh, yeah,
work,
I remember
for sure.
That.
So, yeah. Okay. I will check it out. Thank you.
Blast from the past. Some of these people come around, you know?
Yeah, he's been there all
the time.
Well,
yeah.
So, you know. All right. So let's do this next here then, if you're caught up there. Let's talk about the Blinken meeting with Lavrov, right? The Russia versus U.S. meeting that took place in Geneva, Switzerland, which is, you know, the gnomes of Davos. It's basically in the same neck of the woods there, right? And I want to play a couple of clips of just how it kind of opened up, a bit tense and stuff, but the journalists were packing in the beginning. Their tables were set. Everyone was charged and ready to go, right? There were some weird things, though, but it's a very bizarre encounter. And even the fact when then, and look at that, here's the brave and the wonderful journalist corps. I'm glad to see them masking up there too. It was a very awkward handshake that occurred right at the beginning. Check this out here.
заседания. От договоренности, которые могут быть приняты на встрече в Женеве.
What? Let me take that again. Look at that. What is Lavrov? What is he doing there? Let me play that again here. Whoa, that's too spacey. Let me just lower that music or the audio. Look at that. The elbow? What is he doing with the elbow there? I think this is a little tense. He doesn't know. Is he going to hit me? He's blocking. Lavrov is he's blocking there. No? I don't know.
No, he did laugh.
He did laugh. So what happened basically, you know, to kind of not summarize this in its entirety, because as usual with these kinds of things, where are we? There we are. Usually with these kinds of things, it just goes on and on and on. And the U.S. specifically have these words. I mean, Russia does it too, but the U.S. is like experts on it. Britain does this too. This word salad, this special legalese type lawyerish language of like how to just pin blame on the other side and stuff like that, right? And at some point, I think Lavrov was talking about the amount of document that the U.S. had provided to them to prove to them that they were basically behind all the disinformation when it came to the conflict that's escalating now, essentially between NATO and Russia, but they're using Ukraine as a proxy, right? But check out this clip here and see what he had to say, Lavrov, about that here.
Yesterday, we spent a great deal of time to familiarize ourselves with a large body of information prepared by State Department about Russia's alleged misinformation. It is with great interest that I read them, but I do hope that not everyone in the State Department was working on those materials, and there were some who worked on the essence of our proposals, on their substance.
Right. So he's like, basically what happened is that they provided them with a cache or slew, or whatever you want to call it, of documents that were so numerous that they basically couldn't work themselves through it while they were there at that time, and all these accusations and stuff. And then they start looking through it and it's like, what even is this? How do we even respond to this? Right. So, excuse me, Russia has now basically approached the U.S. and said, look, we're going to need to provide a written answer to you like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
because we have to go through all this nonsensical material that you provided, right?
It's so typical. They throw it at you last second.
Yeah, of course. And it's all bureaucracy and stuff. And again, it's to kind of stall and making sure nothing is resolved. And then they can say Russia was unwilling to work with us. And they're sitting there like scratching their like, what do you even do? How do we even respond to this? This is complete garbage. But anyway, just play a little bit of what Blinken said after the meeting, and then I'll play two more clips of Lavrov, what he said after this. But listen to the legalese and the way that they pin this on Russia, right? They're basically, Russia's going to invade, and we have to be there, provide all the weapons to Ukraine. In fact, we have to preemptively send all the weapons right now. So this is what he said.
There's been a lot of speculation about President Putin's true intentions. But we don't actually have to guess. He's told us repeatedly. He's laying the groundwork for an invasion because he doesn't believe that Ukraine is a sovereign nation.
Bullshit.
He said it flat out to President Bush in 2008, and I quote, Ukraine isn't a real country. He said in 2020,
Hey, look, that doesn't mean that you're going to invade it just because he says that.
Ukrainians and Russians are one and the same people. Just a few days ago, the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs tweeted in celebration of the anniversary of Ukraine and Russia's unification in the year 1654. That's a pretty unmistakable message this week of all weeks.
You don't have this attitude towards like European, like the EU, I should say, the European Union, the way that they're just absorbing nations into it and just saying we're all the same and then like, you know, watering down the culture.
No, now it's nationalism.
This is what I'm saying. Like, the borders of Ukraine, we have to defend it.
Yeah, it's not globalism now. Oh, let's all come together, brothers, you know.
No. And now it's like, you know, the southern border is wide open. Again, the borders to Europe is wide
open. Exactly. No one cares about U.S.-Mexico border, but this border.
Sovereigns.
Oh, my God,
their sovereignty. I mean, again, this is a big gay op in terms of like getting NATO foothold there, whether they actually, you know, yes, NATO, they want to put pressure, the Western Atlanticists want to put pressure on Ukraine to conform to, you know, go into their democratic value system, basically, right? Their neoliberal world democratic order. And he says, even talks about the democracy here, too. Listen to this.
Stakes for Ukraine come more fully into view. This is not only about a possible invasion and war. It's about whether Ukraine has a right to exist as a sovereign nation. It's about whether Ukraine has a right to be a democracy.
Democracy.
This hasn't stopped with Ukraine. All the former Soviet Socialist Republics became sovereign nations in 1990 and 1991. One of them is Georgia.
And then immediately the NATO and the gay ops and the color revolutions began, and they started to turn them against Russia, to use them as a foothold for NATO to basically take over the heartland. We'll get there in a moment here.
Russia invaded it in 2008. 13 years later, nearly 300,000 Georgians are still displaced from their homes. Another is Moldova. Russia maintains
again, Georgia, the Rose Revolution, complete gay op, right? With Chakasvili, lunatic, Western-sponsored maniac.
What's next? Certainly, Russia's efforts to turn its neighbors into puppet states, to control their activities, to crack down
That's
on any spark
what,
of democratic...
literally what,
oh,
what
yeah.
he's doing, and
he,
what he, the faction that he's representing doing
it's
with
amazing.
These countries. I mean, again, the reason why we're seeing in Kazakhstan, there's, you know... It's always the same, right? It's always these color revolutions and stuff, and it has to do with the, I think they call them the peripheral theory, was it? We'll get to that. The Rimland theory. It's a one step further from the Heartland theory, Mackinder. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Democratic expression will intensify. Once the principles of sovereignty and self-determination are thrown out, you revert
listen to
a world
sovereignty and self-determination.
Like they care about that
oh
now.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's crazy.
Erode and then vanish. And that emboldens some governments to do whatever it takes to get whatever they want.
Like
Even
you're doing.
That means shutting
you're literally
down
like invading other countries, buddy. That's the side you're on.
Stay out of it. Mind your own business.
We're sending in tanks. All tactics Russia has used against other countries in recent years. That's why governments and citizens everywhere should care about what's happening in Ukraine. It may seem like a distant regional
dispute.
They just
want to get to Russia.
Yet another example of Russian bullying. But at stake again.
But the U.S. is not bullying. NATO is not bullying.
Never.
More stable.
They're establishing democracy.
All right. Anyway, you get the idea,
yeah.
right? So blah, blah,
it's
blah,
the same
blah,
crap.
Blah. Democracy, democracy. But now, but exactly. Now it's sovereignty and national sovereignty. Oh my God, they're trying to destroy the makeup of their country. What's going on here? We have to come in and defend it. And then, like, we're being, like, railroaded in our own nations, right? What's so great about democracy, anyway? Clearly, it's failed. Clearly, it's a failed system. Look at it now.
It's got us here.
Us. Yeah, exactly. It's not National Socialist that got us to, like, forcefully injecting people and putting them in camps and lockdowns
yeah.
and masking and, basically
replacing
teaching
the
your
native
four,
population.
Four-year-olds or five, six-year-olds in schools how to do blowjobs and you know, dress up in drag, right? That's not, it's not, it's,
yeah.
it's democratic socialists and progressives doing that kind of stuff. Anyway, so I don't want to be too long on this here, but here's what Lavrov, the first little segment I want to play, listen to this here. Like, not reply to the press conference, but immediately right after to see what he said about it, right?
Вы все за меня уже рассказали, конечно. Эти бумаги, которые Госдепартамент...
Well, you said everything for me, these documents the State Department has prepared, especially for today's meeting. It's impossible to read these documents, but we have a special department which is headed by a special envoy of the ministry, and they are charged with studying all of that, and the response has already been given. I do not think that we should additionally comment on that. You just have to, you know, look at these pages. You can randomly open a page, and if you read what's written there, you see that it holds no water, whatever.
In other words, it's just garbage, gobbledygook.
It falls under
nonsense.
Critical analysis. It's lies, pure and simple, in many cases. Now, as far as Ukraine is concerned, we talked about it once again. Our American counterparts once again tried to push to the forefront the issues at the border between Russia and Ukraine. They tried to condition everything on the need of the so-called de-escalation, which has turned into some kind of a mantra. But I would like to reiterate once again, at the end of our meeting, we agreed that next week the U.S. is going to present us with written answers to all of our proposals. And you also said...
Yeah, so they got them a bunch of documents, they're getting them documents, they have to provide it with written answers to each other because they can't sort it out there at the spot, mm-hmm. basically, right? So anyway, this is, you know, we could go off.
They just act
this.
Like Russia wants to invade and take over Ukraine and kill a bunch of Ukrainians. I mean, that's what it's like when you listen to the news. And
again,
that's not what this is.
This would be like, let's take a surface-level geopolitical thing. I mean, many in America are like recognizing that, like, oh, China is, you know, and they're a proxy country too, so this is not the point of it, right? But like, oh, they're trying to take over America and stuff. It would be like them joining a military partnership with Mexico, and all of a sudden they're starting to put weaponry on Mexico's right at Mexico's border to the U.S. Yeah. Well, what would the U.S. react to that? Yeah. They're trying to pretend like Russia does not have the right to do exactly the same like they're doing. Russia's moving troops inside of its own border, and that's an act of aggression. Like, they can do whatever the hell they want inside of their border. Yeah. Look, Russia's not no saints. They have their own problems. They have their own agendas and all that kind of stuff, right? But much of this, just a real quick mention about that here, but it's all about the called the Heartland Theory, right? Goes back to Mackinder, right? He talked about this land power. You have your back against the Arctic, right? The North Pole. If you control that landmass, you're good to go, basically, right? And then you have the Rimland, which is surrounding that. That's like part of Europe and stuff like that. And that's where much
there's
of this
port.
Battle.
There's a port. Right.
Was that?
There's an important port there that they want.
In the Rimland or the the Baltic port, that's one important thing, but they have a Kaliningrad, is it Kaliningrad?
What is
it? That's in the Baltic, right? They have this little oblast or like a independent little an island between the Baltic states, basically, right there, right? But Mackinder's Heartland Theory. He thought that whoever controlled Eastern Europe, the Heartland, would control the world. The idea was that whoever gained control of Eastern Europe controlled the Heartland, also known as the Pivot Area, and whoever controlled the Heartland could easily gain control of the World Island, which he kind of poised to be Africa and Eurasia. And now you're seeing, of course, the EU kind of running this, the Eurasian, merger kind of thing. And again, Russia have their own agenda towards that as well, so don't get me wrong. But it's basically which side of the of these sides fighting is going to control it, right? Which side is going to control? This has to do with the Belt and Road Initiative at the end of it too, and Russia, of course, is a partner in that, right? So it's not just one-sided here. This is, it's much more, it's not just two-sided. Like, oh, these are two obvious sides fighting each other. Some issues they have agreements and stuff like that, right? But the Rimland theory here. Nicholas Spykman argued that the land around the Heartland was the most important for world political power. So, Kazakhstan, right, that the conflict there, we've seen that flare up, and that's in this so-called Rimland as well right now. You're gonna have oil pipelines going through there under the Belt and Road Initiative and stuff. So a lot of this is like geopolitical kind of theater, essentially. But it's like they want to have their guys control the whole show, basically, right? There needs to be homogenization of the globalist elite on this issue, and there are some fragments here and there, and they're trying to sweep this up and sort this out, basically. All right. Did you have any there?
Let's see. One more. Tim says, clarification, yep. The article that we showed last has nothing to do with Joe. It's speculation into the ethnicity and ancestry of Klaus Schwab. If you scroll down, but Joe has had great takes on COVID from the beginning. Yeah, because I thought Joe Atwell was like Nazi all the time.
No, I think you're confusing.
He?
No, I
don't. Okay, I'm confusing him then with someone
he's
else.
He's a historical guy. No, he was Caesar's Messiah. I wrote about the
yes,
Jewish
but I
revolt
there,
in the Roman
okay,
Empire.
Okay, okay. I thought there were some
day.
Other articles. Okay, maybe I'm confusing
I
him with someone
think
else.
So. I don't recall that at all, actually. But all right. Okay. So this is happening as well today. Ray Epps is being interviewed by the January 6th committee. This is.
As soon as I heard this, I'm like, this is just for show, just because Ray Epps has been called out so much and everyone's saying, like, this guy was clearly an instigator, so why has he not been called in for questioning yet? Mm-hmm. And so I think the feds are like, oh, shoot, we gotta call him in and make it look like we're doing something, right? Because he's our guy. We got to cover for him, right?
I think the same thing happened with Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers, basically. There was just too much heat around it, and they could not do anything about it, basically. So we'll see. But the interesting thing about this, too, is that many of these have of course, been televised. They're live-streamed. If the C-SPAN does it or something like that. Well, not with Ray Epps. No, he's going to be only a sit-down interview with the committee that's going to be transcribed, and it gets worse. Maybe the transcript will be released. Ray Epps' interview transcript with January 6th panel to be public at some point. So after they can censor and exclude or change or alter, although this is really kind of what he said here, then we'll... But again, we might never see this, basically, right?
No.
We might not even see the result of this. This
if
is how
if it's
dishonest
even taking
it is.
Place, right?
I mean, it probably is, but it could be just a clown show, a circus act, a theater, basically, right? So it's hopefully will be released, but keep in mind as well, that means we don't get to see the facial expressions of Ray Epps. We don't get to see if he is uncomfortable. We don't get to see really how he was pressed on certain issues and stuff, right? This is basically to cover up part of the Fed operation because it's being exposed through the good work of people like the Revolver News team. And there's others, right, that have kept up with this. So we'll see. We'll see if it gets there or not. So this happened as well with the so-called January 6th committee. They have issued subpoenas to Nick Fuentes and Patrick Casey. The committee is demanding records and testimony from the two witnesses who promoted unsupported claims about the 2020 election.
Anyone
and were present on the Capitol grounds on January 6th.
It's amazing. I know. I saw that Patrick Casey said, you know, look, I was there peacefully. I didn't enter the Capitol. I obeyed law enforcement. Like, I got nothing. What do you want? You know, I guess they had come to him before the feds and he was watching a live stream he did the other day and were like, do you have any information? And he's like, I don't have any information. About what? You know?
Right.
So, yeah, this is all just for show again. But of course, they're trying to go after anyone that has any kind of following that was questioning the election. Like, they're trying to come after these people. It's outrageous.
Yeah, if you have an audience, if you do something and you talk to somewhat of a wider audience and you say something that they disagree with, if they could, they'd put you in jail, basically. Yeah. That's basically, I mean, it's intimidation. There's layers to this, right? Intimidation is to know that, like, you're not allowed to say these kinds of things.
But
look at one line here that they used in the press release image here with this from the tweet from the Jan 6 committee account. So they call them the leaders of America First and Groyper movement. And of course, Patrick and Nick has had a falling out. So I can't even remember when Patrick started warning about Fuentes being, you know, kind of that the feds were after him and they were seizing his bank accounts. He's on a no-fly list. Remember those Patrick Casey that mentioned that?
Earlier last year, Fuentes was
kind of forced into like admitting that eventually.
I think it was after all this January.
Was it after that? Maybe it was then. Yeah. Both individuals participated in events prior to January 6th promoting unsupported claims about the election. This is not illegal. You can believe whatever you want to believe, right? Including, then they mentioned, the other events that was leading up to the January 6th rally, right? But listen to this here. So at these events, they say, where they called for the destruction of the Republican Party.
Oh, my God. I thought, well, they should be happy about that, this January 6th committee, right? Because they don't like the Republican Party.
Literally, this crowd is the one who are trying to terrorist label the entire GOP.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But, I mean,
listen to this. Just to make a point here, look at this. This is one of their own.
And now
right?
they care. Now like, they're going
to
use it.
Like they've never talked about burning down the GOP. Yeah. Listen to
is
this.
Is that going to happen, Jennifer? I mean, the fact is that, you know, major universities are opening their doors and welcoming these people.
And they're talking about the, you know, Republicans and Trump supporters and stuff here, right? But this is from like 2019. But listen to what the lunatic Jennifer Rubin says here, right?
Wrote another Republican gets elected president.
Right, they'll shut just up,
Joy. I mean, this
She's
is coming, canceled,
by endangering
the way, so.
Them
right, yeah.
because
they're,
yeah. it's fine.
It is. You know, I wrote a column way back when, I think it was around the time that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was denied service at the restaurant, that what we should be doing is shunning these people. Shunning, shaming these people is
mouth.
A statement
yeah.
of moral indignation that these
Big
people
mouth.
Are not fit for polite society. I think any institution, in University of Virginia, for example, for a bit, had a relationship with Mark Short, who is now back with the administration. Absolutely abhorrent that any institution of higher learning, any news organization or any entertainment organization that has a news outlet would hire these people. I also want to echo something that EJ said. It's not only that Trump has to lose, but that all his enablers have to lose. We have to collectively, in essence, burn down the Republican Party.
There you go.
Right.
Burn it down.
But it's fine. See, it's fine when they say it. When they want to destroy the Republican Party, then it's totally fine.
But then a couple guys like basically telling jokes about it and like saying, you know, in the future, we're going to be future Republicans, right? Burn it all down or whatever. It's like, oh my God, we got to bring him in for questioning immediately in front of the government.
And then they talk
it's outrageous.
About they got Bitcoin, so therefore they're terrorists. That's basically what that is, right?
But yeah, someone gave them a donation. Happened to give them a donation. Ooh, so like, you know how much money the left gets? Like millions and billions of dollars floating around. All this corruption, and here they are kvetching because some guy gave a bunch of Bitcoin to a couple people before he committed suicide, and it just happened to be before January 6th. So therefore, this guy was actually funding them, and this French guy was actually funding them to go take over the U.S. Capitol. I mean, like, before he commits suicide. It's just so retarded.
So, you, I mean, you could do a lot of things here. You can get a lot of things out of this, including like, well, this means it's a foreign, it's election interference because it's a foreign individual, and maybe they work for Russia. Who knows? Maybe they were paid by Putin. You know, like they can, this would just be his innuendos, and it would just go on and on and on about all these, you know, accusations and stuff. Again, the whole Russian narrative did collapse and fall apart largely, right? At least the version of it that the Democrats were trying to push, right? But now the January 6th thing will be milked to infinity, right? It will never stop. This is the movement, and the moment in time when they started to really organize basically against 50% of the American population, right? Yeah. Of saying, these are terrorists, they need to be locked up, we need to target them, we need to put them on lists and stuff. It's actual, you know, they were afraid of like McCarthyism and like, they had a good reason back then, but this is like actual, this is like 10 times worse than that. Now people are like, no fly list,
they can't, you know, lies.
Financial terrorism, they can't have bank account, like all this crazy shit's happening. They're being censored, all their rights is being violated and stuff, right? So
I mean Nicholas Fuentes, love him or hate him, the fact is that what is he, 21, 22, and he's on no fly lists? He has his show and he talks to people about the news and events and things going on, and he's on a no fly list and banned from all, I mean, we're banned from all kinds of things too, but he's like really banned from all kinds of things. even flying.
So we could play this clip. This was kind of funny. I put it on our Telegram, but it's basically a little tiffy-tat between CNN contributor Richard Dickey Spencer and Nicholas J. Fuentes, which Spencer goes on to call a Mexican peasant in the... This is... Okay, so... This
some
is
people
more,
have no idea who these people are, so this is more like an inside joke, I guess, for people that
know
most, who these people
I think
are.
98% of people watching knows who these people are. So I don't think we have to preface that in any way. But it's funny because it's like this tiffy-tat of like, unfit. It's basically as the baton has been handed over from one guy to another, and the infighting. Not the infighting, because they're not on the same page here now, obviously, right? But as the drama between who's top dog of whatever this is, kind of thing. Anyway, let's just play it. It's like it's a comedic for some comedic relief purposes here. Here we go.
All right, I'm gonna play it. Okay, here we go.
What a great argument, you dumb little piece of shit!
Wow.
If I ever fucking see you, you better watch. I am serious.
Is that a threat?
No one fucking accuses me of that fucking bullshit.
Is that a threat? Are you threatening me?
You think I'm fucking joking, little faggot?
Are you threatening me?
Funny little boy, you think I'm fucking joking?
Are you threatening me? Is that a serious threat?
You are such a piece of swan fucking shit. I can't even describe it. You little fucking swanny speck.
Is this a threat?
What do your parents look like? I'm just curious.
Are you threatening me right now, Richard?
What do your parents look like? Were they my maid? I'm just curious. Did they clean my fucking house?
Wow.
Fucking Mexican. Wow.
Oof.
If I ever fucking see you anywhere, I'm gonna kick the living shit out of you. Antifa does not accuse me of being a fucking child molester for reporting that shit.
They would like you then if you were.
Hollow and wicked you are.
That's my favorite line. That's my favorite line. This just demonstrates how hollow and wicked you are. He's literally like crying. He's literally on the verge of tears. This just demonstrates how hollow and wicked you are. That's classic. Accusing of being a child molester.
Disgusting human being.
Wow. I can tell you're very upset,
wow.
Richard.
But then all you fucking say is, wow, you dumb fucking Mexican peasant. Wow.
Well, it's sensational.
Do my fucking room? Do you do my fucking laundry, you little fucking
upset. I can tell you're upset.
Oh, wow, Mr.
I think that's that. Let me pull this.
Wait, so where did all this start? Because I'm not clued in on all the drama.
I'm not either. I just happened to come across it on BitChute, and I guess Fuentes called him a pedophile. Well, there is that clip where he talks about, was it the pedophile pornography could be good for pedophiles or something like that? Now I almost have to play it because I'll be, what? Let me see if I can find that real quick. But I mean, obviously, I would assume it's hyperbolic. It's to get a rise out of the guy, right? And then so he starts recording when he's like, "Oh, he may not be threatening me. That could I can use that, right?" So it's like this sly back end way.
Good TV, good entertainment,
here,
right?
Here it is.
Well, Richard's on his way down, so you know.
On his way?
He's on.
All right.
Well, he hasn't quite hit rock bottom, but he's pretty close.
I'm not sure if there's any further.
And then he's going to emerge. He's going to emerge. Antifa.
Sure. Maybe this is what he's talking about. Let's listen to this.
Child molesters, giving them certain types of porn can actually prevent greater child molestation.
I can think of other methods.
That's literally what liberals are saying.
Obviously, I can think of other methods. But, you know, in terms of the world we live in, I don't oppose it.
All right. Okay. So maybe that's what he's referring to. But anyway, this is we don't deal in this petty drama between unfit leaders who are going to, you know, tiffy tat with each other over who's going to be top dog of these kinds of things. But that's how it goes sometimes. But yeah, so all this is related, of course, to January 6th, right? Again, never forget, folks, January 6th, when the nuclear weapon went off in Washington, D.C., and the terror, the white American right-wing Nazi,
that's what it looked like.
Racist, fascist terrorist,
yep,
attacked the Capitol, right? So basically, this takes us into, I guess, feds overall, right? Because I think Fuentes said, let me see if I had that. Yeah, he had this little comment. Now, again, I believe this is from a show. But I can't confirm that, so I'm relying on the tweet here, getting the words right. Maybe this is a paraphrase or whatever. This is apparently Fuentes saying, "They have been investigating me for a year plus. I would have been a priority, and they don't have anything. They've charged over 700 people, and they don't have anything. They've had my phone tapped for a year. They've been reading my emails for a year." And I think that was one of the kind of replies it did regarding being getting a subpoenas from January 6th committee. And so the FBI is now monitoring dissidents. We know this, of course, is not a big shock, right? But this is the way that this has escalated. And now the new agency from the Department of Justice to only deal with so-called domestic terrorism, right? They've turned the so-called terrorist accusations into like a clown show.
Oh yeah,
the way they're targeting people and going after people.
And we had joked about this several years ago. I remember I was saying, "Oh, it's a matter of time before they make white housewives a terrorist," right? And literally the other day, I saw we need to talk about the Trump supporting housewives that were present and complicit in January 6th. Like, it's happening.
So this is basically what we have now. It's these agents and feds on the internet. Hey kid, you want to blow up a building? Do you want to admit do you want to crack a joke in front of me and then we can put you in jail and arrest you, you know, kind of thing. So speaking about the FBI and unfit people and so forth, let's play a clip to show who the FBI, among others, but this is a very influential and important group to them, that they're taking so-called tips from, clues, suggestions of who should we go after, who should we target,
but
what
before
do we do?
You play it, okay, yeah. We should just say that we just randomly walked in the room when this was playing. You gotta
It was like a live streaming service on one of the Rokus that accidentally, I think one of the boys had clicked on, and I walk into the room to turn it off, and this is playing, and that's why I shot it with a cell phone. Like, holy
basically
shit,
basically a toddler discovered this. Listen to
this here.
One dot that maybe one of your members has is brought forward with the one dot that we might have, so that we can disrupt the attack. So the eyes and ears part is huge.
Well, I know many of us, you know, we look at the Ima bombing in Argentina, or even the bombing in Oklahoma City. We worry about this lone threat, whether it's Iranian sleeper agents or domestic extremists. And when we've had so many tip issues on a day-to-day basis, it is the FBI that works directly with the ADL every day, and we could not
every day.
If you will, of fighting anti-Semitism without them doing their job of protecting our community. So, Director Ray, we really, really have the deepest appreciation for you and all of your professionals. Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for what you do.
That's amazing. And what he's thanking the ADL for what they do?
With the FBI.
It's amazing. They're so corrupt. They have their hands in everything.
Because, of course, ADL is, you know, not a biased story. They don't spin things and exaggerate things to achieve a political, goal that they have, or try to push certain narratives, on society and things. No, they're completely objective. Just like the FBI, remember, by the way? They got this Inspector General's report back in 2018. That cleared them of all bias.
Yeah,
there's
right.
No bias with the FBI. Yeah. In fact, if you go to Wikipedia, this is the concern. In the years since 2010, it has been uncovered by various civil liberty groups, such as the ACLU, that the FBI earmarked disproportionate resources for the surveillance of left-leaning movements and political organizations. That's right. So the real concern here, folks, is not what's happening with January 6th, all the domestic terrorism, the sting operations, right? Remember all the stuff with the Michigan governor, what's his name again? Whitmer, like all that, that gay op and all the sting informants and all that stuff that's surveilling. No, none of that. Even the people inside of the FBI that learned that Larry Nassar, the U.S. Olympics gymnast coach, when they learned that he was a pedophile, the FBI was slated to go investigate them.
They let
the
it slide.
Agents wanted to go work for the guy.
Yeah.
That's how
it's
bad
so
it is,
corrupt.
Right?
And the ADL is so corrupt, as we've talked about so many times.
It is pretty crazy, actually. So speaking of this, why don't we do this? Let's play a clip by the Texas synagogue hostage taker, I guess, whatever you want to call him. The Muslim guy, the British guy. It just showed up, and somehow he got his hands on weapons and all that kind of stuff. And yes, plenty of questions. Maybe false, like, sure, it was very possible, right? But again, how they're seeking to use this, right? So a clip was released when he made a phone call to his brother. He has like five brothers or something, right? They live in the UK.
They're all named Muhammad.
And and this is, so let me play some of this here. And, let me pause one second. Let me play this and listen to what he says about certain things. It's kind of interesting. You'll get it, so I don't have to explain this. Listen to what he said here, the hostage taker in the Texas synagogue.
I'm sorry, I've told my kids to man up, don't cry on my funeral. Don't cry on my funeral, because guess what?
So this is, for clarify, this is before he took the hostages. I'm not sure exactly how. I think it's the same day, maybe just an hour or so before.
I've come to die, G.
But you're not, come on.
Okay?
Man. You're not to come
I've
on.
Prayed for Allah for 2 years for this. I'm telling you. Either you come for it or they send it, I'm coming back home in a body bag. I'm telling you. I know what I'm doing, Yara. I'd rather live one day as a lion than 100 years of a jackal.
By you dying.
Yeah, who gives a f***? Listen to me. Allah said, I've asked Allah for this death, and guess what? Allah's made it. And Allah's with me, man. I'm not worried the slightest. I don't even flinch, man.
You know, you don't need to do this. Why are you doing, man? Just pack it in, you know? You'll get away.
His brother's trying to talk him down, man, he's at come least.
Back to black. Do you know what I mean? He's come back last week. Do you know what I mean? He's done his time. What, you know, why are you doing, man? Think about your kids, man. Think about these
people.
These guys you've got there, they're innocent people, man.
They will never take another woman from a Muslim. I'm opening the doors for every youngster.
Now, this is an interesting portion here. Again, this might be during then, actually, come to think of it, because he says the people
their
you
innocence.
Have there are innocent. It must actually be during that. But listen to what he says next here regarding, like, immigration and stuff, that it's like, I guess the West, this is his sentiments, the hostage taker's sentiments. The West is opening our borders to Muslim women so we can be racist against them and suppress them and rape them. Listen to this.
Oh, wow. They're not smart.
Listen, you know, these guys you've got there, they're innocent people, man.
They will never take another woman from a Muslim. I'm opening the doors for every youngster to enter America and f*** with them. Why does Afghanistan always have to have a defensive war? Why can't these thick Taliban
enter America and have a defensive war?
Why do we need these motherfuckers to come to our country and do f***ing battle and we can't come in their countries? They're coming to our f***ing countries, rape our women, f*** our kids, and we can't come in their countries and them. So you know what? I'm setting the precedent today. I'm setting the precedent that f*** you. You know what? You ain't gonna get away with it anymore. Even if they don't release Dr. Afia, who gives a f***? They let James Foley die. They let him die and they didn't release her. But guess what? Maybe they have compassion for f***ing Jews.
So I guess that was the clue to why he did the synagogue. And the synagogue has proximity, of course, to where the neurobiologist...
The sister was being held.
It's not
right?
His sister. It was a misunderstanding. No, it wasn't her brother. It's just a rando guy, as far as I understand. They weren't related. I think I'm wrong on that, aren't we? But yeah, she was like a educated in neurobiology, certain scientific fields and stuff, and she was arrested in Afghanistan, right? But again, so it's we, right? Even these average Jewish, this small congregation in Texas that's behind the invasion of Afghanistan or something, right? I mean, there's people at the top here you could target if you wanted to do something, but it's always this random.
Open the door so we can come in and rape your kids and women. He's literally saying that.
We're, I mean, sure.
And they do.
I understand.
They do.
I understand this idea that it's like, yeah, we, you know, those who control the West.
They're not smart enough to think like that, though. Because on one hand, and his brother there doesn't even clarify, because on one hand, he's like, oh, innocent people. But then he doesn't clarify right there about, like, oh, well, innocent Americans that had nothing to do with these foreign bullshit wars.
Right. I mean, you could say then, so does that mean he thinks that the Jews control America and that's why he's going to not to, like, you know, a George Soros or someone at the head of AIPAC or something that actually has influence over, let's say, what foreign policy issues.
Yeah, he thinks going to a Jewish synagogue is going to get attention. He knows that gets attention.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. But going to like a rando, I would assume it's random. It's not like some high, powerful Jewish synagogue that's at the center of why American has the foreign policy that they have. I don't think that's what's going on here, right? But it's interesting, right? So you kind of recognize that. Maybe they will care about them. So if I take some of these guys, maybe they will, you know, let me have what I want type deal, right? But yeah, so look, I get it that Afghanistan is being destroyed, but it's by the people that control the West. It's not regular people that have... It's not Americans.
It's not
overall.
These little English girls in the UK that are getting raped.
No, that's not even happening. No, that's not happening. But it's almost like, wait a minute, you're talking about the migrant waves as well? It's basically all men that's coming. It's not. It's not women. It's not Muslim women coming to like from Syria and Afghanistan and stuff. It's all men coming to Western countries.
A lot of European men aren't just pining to go get a burka wife, snatch a burka woman. Ding.
So he says here, I'm opening the doors. Listen to that last line.
And they didn't release her, but guess what? Maybe they have compassion for f***ing Jews, but guess what? I'm opening the doors for every f***ing youngster in England to know. Let your f***ing life go, you f***ing coward. But come into f***ing America and f*** with them if they want to f***. They give them f***ing war.
So,
anyway, I'm getting off.
People in England, you mentioned? So you mean little English boys? English guys are going to line up to go to war, jihad for you? Or are you talking about all the Muslims that you
yes,
only
that's
know
what he means.
Exists in England?
Yeah,
because
you
know,
there's a lot of those there.
All right. Anyway, so that happens. Speaking of more terrorism clownery here, I wanted to show... Well, that's later. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Where are we? Here we are. This one. Check this out. This is... There's a list of the 20 most dangerous... terrorist and extremist that's listed each year on the Counter Extremism Project website. And among, you know, like military leaders, like, you know, actual, you know,
people
terrorists,
that have power
jihadists and
well.
Stuff and things like that, they put the guy who currently is heading up the Nordic Resistance Movement on spot number 17. And again, by the way, this is not the first time this has happened. The leader of the Nordic resistance movement, and extension the entire movement, is classed as one of the world's most dangerous organizations in the extension and men. For the second year in a row, the counter-extremism project
tells you where their priorities are, huh?
Yeah. A lobby organization has compiled a list of the world's most dangerous people. Simon Lindberg has once again been included alongside military leaders and Muslim terrorists. And again, this is just them existing and like doing marches and activism. And then that's it. That's compared to like, you know, Al-Qaeda or ISIS or, you know, these kinds of things. It's incredible. It's just this. I tell you, this terrorism thing is just, I mean, they're running with this. We know what they're doing, but it is utter complete idiocy and lunacy what they're doing here, right?
Yeah, it's what a joke.
Wow. I mean, I have nothing to say. It's just like, okay, if this is what you think is terrorism, then like you're just, all right, okay, you know.
Yeah, he's a terrorist because he wants Sweden to be Swedish, and that is the number one threat to this globalist system is men who think like that. They don't care about actual murderers and tyrants and globalist terrorists. And no, because they could use all that.
Yep. And those who organize, those who have an organization, those who do activism and so forth, right? That's the big problem there. Do you want to get caught up?
Sure. I'm way behind here. Sorry, guys.
Yep.
Black Phillip, I'm personally very conflicted on Russia, Ukraine. Both are Zog somewhat, but I know the military-industrial complex here would love to see Eastern Europe get hot and flex their muscle. We must have a hard policy of no more brotherly wars at all costs. Well, I'm with you there, of course.
No, I think it's to put, you know, destabilize the region, take over it strategically because of the, as I said, the Belt and Road Initiative, NATO presence, and they can threaten Russia that way. There are a lot of different things weaved into it. But again, even despite that, you know, Putin, I showed a headline in the last Wednesday show of like how he's, the World Jewish Congress thanked Putin for fighting anti-Semitism and stuff. They arrested that supposed neo-Nazi who did anti-COVID posts on the internet the other day, the FSB, the Russian Intelligence Service and stuff. So they're not much different, right, on those kinds of things. But despite those things, there's still enough differences among those cliques of elites in those various regions of the world that they're willing to go to fight for each other. But again, maybe it's all about just killing Ukrainians or something. You know, getting to another war between
getting more Europeans to kill each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flying Dutchman, thank you very much. A little smiley face. And Flying Dutchman again, petty drama is counterproductive. Yes, going back to the Fuentes Spencer thing.
Oh, I know. It's just more for fun. We don't really engage so much in that. Yeah.
Conservative thinker 20. Every time that beautiful blonde is hosting the show. Which one is that?
I don't know. I think the few times I've worn a wig, I think that's what they're talking about.
Thank you for that. And Cyan Wolf, holy cow, thank you. Wanted to give the Red Ice Gang your year-end bonus. Sorry it's a bit late, and do not try to annoy Dickie Spencer.
We'd never do that. That's not the agenda here at all. Thank you, Cyan Wolf. That's
yes,
very generous of
very
you.
Very much. Thank
very,
you.
Very kind. Thanks.
Armored Saint says the Jewish-owned FBI director. That's going back to the ADL there, yes?
Yep.
Robothink, do you know who this woman is? She sounds familiar. I think you may have had her on 314 a while back. Let me take a look at the link.
It's, what's her name again? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had her on with, funny, I think it was the ADL that was complaining about that, too, an SPLC.
I forget her name now, actually.
I had her on, me too, with Faith Goldie. I had her on, and we were talking about, is civic nationalism strong enough? That's in the archives on 314. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to pull her out. But, yeah, if you look it through the archives, maybe, was it 20, maybe 20? 18
I can't believe I forgot.
Or 19? Yeah, I forget her name now. But it should be in the archives. Look at if you scroll through the Radio 314 archives in that time period, 2018.
There's plenty
maybe
of news
19.
Articles that were kvetching about that
you'll
one
see her
too.
Face. But yeah, Lana interviewed her, but I forget her name. But anyway, okay, cool. Tim says, from a personal experience, I'll take the last one here, Lana. I can argue religion with a Muslim guy from West Africa, but he has no awareness whatsoever of the JQ. People from Levant know what's going on with Israel, but don't understand mass migration or JQ at all. No, not on a wider scale, I'd say. Again, in many regards, and this is one of the criticisms we've had too, there's like this kind of Nasbol faction who's like, you know, the Palestinians and the Muzzis are our best allies and stuff, and like, we should work together with them, you know, kind of thing. But it's like they're willing pawns of the very system that they, at least in the Middle East, oppose themselves towards, right? There, they're talking about Israel hegemony, Zionism is a big problem and stuff. But then they kind of go and line up and really do become their pawns and do their bidding by exiting the area for the, you know, the Odnan Yinon, the Greater Israel, is that what it's called? The Greater Israel Project. It, basically emptying it of populations so that they can free up the greater Israel region, right? And it's like, you're literally doing the bidding here. And so that's been one of the problems, too. You can't, like, they still see us as enemies and stuff like that. And it's going to be hopelessly difficult to get to a position where, like, oh, no, brother, I want to work together with you. And it's like they're raping European women and stuff, right? Yeah, the Oded Yinon plan, right? Look into that if you want to find out specifically of why they're pouring out so many... many, specifically men then, but just people from this region. And where are they going to? Well, they're going to Europe and America, of course, right? All right.
By the way, it's Lauren Rose. I just looked
Lauren
it up.
Lauren Rose.
And I saw there's some bug here on the past shows, so it's harder to get to. Gotta update the website.
We do have to do that, yeah. Let me do this one. So we're talking about, I guess, let's play a couple of Biden clips. It's fun to goof on Biden. Completely incoherent. Listen to this here. And again, this is the guy that is at, you know, the commander in chief. He's the head of this thing,
the puppet
right?
in chief. Yes.
All the stuff that's happening now with terrorism and the these new departments and stuff. And yeah, all of that is under the auspices, under the guise of this guy. Check this out.
School reopenings or closures become a potent midterm issue for Republicans to win back the suburbs.
Oh, I think it could be, but I hope in God that they're, that, look, maybe I'm kidding myself, but as time goes on, the voter who is just trying to figure out, as I said, how to take care of their family, put three squares on the table, stay safe, be able to pay their mortgage or their rent, et cetera, is becoming much more informed on the
yikes,
the motives of some of the political players and some of the and the political parties, and I think that they are not going to be as susceptible to believing some of the outlandish things that have been said.
Pivot to misinformation, Joe.
You know, say something about racists.
Every president, not necessarily in the first 12 months, but every president in the first couple of years, of the last presidents, at least four of them, have had polling numbers that are 44% favorable. So it's this idea that, but you all, not you all, but now it is, well, Biden's it. One poll showed him at 33%. The average is 44, 45%.
What?
One poll him at 49%. I mean, the idea that...
he's losing his mind.
The American public are trying to sift their way through what's real and what's fake. And I...
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Oh my God, he's just like this putting, it's just a word salad of nonsense. It's amazing. Cut Free Zone says, I know there's more. Maybe I'm shitting myself, literally, Joe in chief. Yeah,
Joe crapping my pants, diaper Biden. Here's another one. Look at that. This is a classic one of these, like, yeah, again, remember, there's a lot of these people that are still like, oh, Trump slipped up on his, you know,
then
with
they
a
let
word
this pass. They let dementia pass.
What's going on here? Again, this is the leader.
And they just sit there with a straight face, just like, oh, no, this is totally normal, and he's fine.
We know it's not the president that controls things, right? But officially, that's what people believe, right? He has the fingers on the nuclear button. He's the commander-in-chief. He can order the military to invade for whatever reason. Well, you know, he's kind of as you kind of, you age and stuff, and, he's still a bastard, but it's not his fault that he's aging and stuff. He's obviously have mental, his mental faculties are highly challenged here. But he's... You know, as you get age older, you become more, small. You think about the little things, right? What am I going to do after the press conference? Maybe I'm going to go and have some potato chips. Listen to this.
God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. And by the way, the reason we're not going to have any time for questions now is these guys got to get quickly on the plane and go out and do a major announcement in Ohio. And you guys will ask me all about Russia and not about anything having to do with chips.
Chips.
Anything to do with chips. Where's my chips at?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny?
Chips. He's like, let's get out of here so I can eat some chips.
Yep. Wow. That's what's on his mind, folks. What about them chips?
It's just amazing. All of this gets a pass. It just gets a pass.
So the Fed, we're talking about the Fed, right? The Fed, well, the Feds and then the Federal Reserve and all that stuff. Well, let's talk about the monetary aspect.
Wait, hold on. Valette says, don't be so hard on Biden. How many times have you had to give a press conference with your pants full of crap?
That's true. But that's why he wears a diaper. You think he could, they would learn to work with that now.
Oh, never gets old. Laughing at this guy, it is entertaining.
My butt's been wiped. I don't think we ever play that clip, but it's clearly that someone, you know, had to clean him up. And yeah, my butt's been wiped.
That's by the way, I forgot to say, conservative thinker said, "Will you put on the wig, sir?"
No, that's not happening. So check out this story here from Wall Street Journal. Right, we talk about the Feds and stuff, and a little bit about the economy right here. Fed launches review of possible central bank digital currency. As they're attacking Bitcoin and BTC, yes, have been going down a little bit, but buy the dip, remain faithful. I think it's one of the better alternatives. Maybe the perfect alternative eventually will show up or whatever. Or maybe you think it's Monero or something like that, right? But anyway, so of course they're monitoring this, right? They want to basically have a digital currency, and it will be a central bank digital currency. They say, no, you still have everything that you have with crypto now. You'll be digital. You can, you can have your wallet on your phone, all these kinds of things. But it'll be controlled by us. It'll be a central bank digital currency. And also, that way we can monitor every purchase. We can see exactly how you're spending your money. We can see how that money circulates. And in fact, if we don't approve of the purchase, we can block it to make sure that you can actually use the digital dollars, right? Yeah. So this is coming to many, many countries right now. So not a big surprise. This is back on the agenda again. It's been kind of coming and going a little bit, but expected that to be launched here in the next, maybe this year or maybe next year or something like that. And speaking of the Federal Reserve, check out this just real quick. The central bank recently released its unaudited preliminary financial statement for 2021, right? The Fed releases statements every time. The Fed's total net income for 2021 came in at $107.8 billion U.S. dollars. That's the money they're making.
That's crazy.
How does that compare to legitimate businesses? Apple booked a pre-tax income of $109 billion in its fiscal year 2021. So the Federal Reserve ranks nearly the same income as Apple, which is almost one of the biggest companies in the world, I believe, right? The Fed's total revenue for the year came in at $121.1 billion. And then here's the sources of that income, courtesy of Wall Street. So they link that up, right, to how it breaks down and stuff like that. By the way, the Fed does not pay taxes, but it does remit nearly all of its net income to the U.S. Treasury. This is required by law. But don't worry, plenty of people still get a cut out of the pie before the Fed, before the Fed sends all that cash over to the federal government. The Fed paid $583 million in statutory dividends to shareholders of the 12 regional Federal Reserve banks, right? And so this unit, which, despite the name, calling itself Federal Reserve, meaning, it's government-owned or whatever, it's 12 banks, privately owned banks, on the board of this thing. It's controlled by them, right? And this is the money that they're raking.
Outrageous! So,
it's a side issue, but it's just keep outrageous. That in mind, right? And so while we're talking about the Fed and the Treasury and all these kinds of things, the economic just shit show in America, let's play a little bit from this. I want to play a couple of minutes. She went on the Davos Agenda, which is the World Economic Forum's event here running from the 17th to the 21st. I think this is a closing day today. We played some last Wednesday show, if you want more details of some of the other people that have joined in and stuff like that. These events is always, it's the same thing, yes, over and over to a certain extent, but if you want to be caught up to what the agenda is, it's always a treasure trove of material as you kind of wade your way through, yes, boring talks, but very obvious about like what they want to do and what the agenda is. And of course, that's none different with Janet Yellen, horrible speaker, by the way. Remember that she had the blackout on the podium
horrible,
and stuff?
Horrible.
So she's the Secretary of the Treasury.
Makes a lot of money, too. We talked about her salary once.
And before that, she was on the board of the Federal Reserve, I believe, at the head of it, the chair, right? So let me go to, what do we want to play here? About 2 minutes in, listen to what she said here regarding what's on the agenda and the important things here at the Davos agenda event. Here we go.
The issues at hand. We've all been living through the COVID-19 pandemic for roughly 2 years now. Policymakers, businesses large and small, and families alike have grappled with the uncertainty and unexpected twists of this ruthless pandemic and its associated economic disruption. At the same time, long-standing challenges persist, and some are exacerbated by a pandemic that disproportionately impacted low-wage workers and minorities. We still face growing divergence between rich and poor, within and between countries, along with the mounting risk of climate change. Our navigation of these health and economic challenges will be consequential for ending the pandemic, for mitigating climate change, and for ensuring the stability and prosperity of our respective economies and the global economic system. I will focus my remarks on the Biden administration's strategy to sustain our economic recovery and to address longstanding structural issues relating to income inequality, racial disparities, and climate change.
Let's look at your salary first, lady. How much are you making? What's in your bank? It's never affects them, right? It's just the middle class people that own businesses.
Globalism.
Conservatives.
More globalism. Climate change, globalism, racial, anti-white, white people bad, globalism, more globalism.
And this is from the Treasury.
Yep, they're all part of the big club. It's a World Economic Forum now. That's the organizer of all of this, right? Let's throw this into before we get to the COVID stuff here, but check this out. We just linked up a video of how this article from the UNESCO, which is the educational division of the United Nations, their article about how they're using Holocaust education to promote and bring in multiculturalism and what they call global citizenship, right? It's this explicit wording in there of like how we target specifically European nations, European Western nationalism and things like that.
Basically using the Holocaust as a weapon to get you accept globalism and diversity, multiculturalism and your replacements.
So that's obviously now then it has been for a long time. We've said that it's a sledgehammer against Western sovereignty, essentially, right? It's to impose white guilt specifically.
You can never have nationalism again because it always is going to lead to a Holocaust.
To millions of people dead. So therefore, you have to open your borders. You have to replace yourself. You have to mix out, and you have to cease to exist, right? So that seems reasonable, right? So in the wake of that being found out. Now the United Nations, which again we saw, the South Carolina Indian lady?
Nikki Haley.
Quit, what was it, the Human Rights Council at the UN because, oh my God, they're mistreating Israel so much, you know, kind of thing. And again, this is garbage narrative, but that's what they're saying. Oh my God, Israel is being, you know, the United Nations is putting down Israel. So there's an Israeli resolution now that passed in the UN about calling combating Holocaust denial on social media. It's not only, by the way, social media, it extends further, but that's, you know, what they're focusing on here.
They've been doing this for years now, though, already. it's never enough. It's always resolution on it.
The resolution, which the US and Germany have also lobbied for, also recognizes the International Holocaust Remembers Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. Here's the team here, a delegation of Holocaust survivors at the UN resolution on Thursday. All right. Let me just read here. The UN General Assembly approved on Thursday an Israeli-sponsored resolution on combating Holocaust denial on social media, marking the second time ever that Israel has managed to pass a resolution in the Assembly. So that's probably what they're pointing out. Look, they're not getting all the resolutions passed. They're getting their way now. The resolution, backed by dozens of countries and approved by consensus, provides a clear definition of Holocaust denial and makes social media and internet companies responsible for removing such posts. Although the resolution has no enforcement mechanism, it is expected to set a new international standard in combating Holocaust denial, and UN member countries are expected to adopt it and advance domestic legislation in their own countries to enforce it.
Basically, you can't question anything that we don't say is true, right?
So it's they're basically outlawing you questioning the people who write our history books. That's what this is. There's nothing else going on here. You can argue all you want all day long. It's like, well, Nazis or millions dead or whatever. It's frankly at the root of it is nothing to do with that.
It's a certain branch of historical research
that has been complete. Is being. It's not. It's happened, as you said, in many countries before, but even more now, right? A complete whole field of historical research that's being outlawed. And again, anything you say that they consider to be a Holocaust denial, no matter how benign or anything like that, can now be criminalized in many countries.
Isn't it kind of desperate? And isn't it kind of obvious when they have to outlaw you just researching a certain time period in history and trying to hear other points of view and looking at other research and looking at other facts that are out there? I mean, isn't it kind of obvious?
Yeah, you'd think so.
I mean, when they jail you and they ban you for even looking at this kind of stuff, I mean, that should be a huge red flag to people.
Yeah, and again, I mean,
they don't do it for any other time period.
No, and again, I mean, when the U.S. is concerned, there's many other Western countries that, you know, pride themselves on free speech and freedom of the press and all these kinds of things, right? But then when push comes to shove, when they actually need to step up to defend speech, not that's popular. You don't need a law to protect speech that everyone agrees with or that's popular. The very reason those things exist is to protect the speech that everyone is and everyone. But you know what I mean, like. That the general society would hate or something like, or like they violent and want to go after someone because they have the wrong opinions, right? That's when those laws are necessary. And this is a complete violation of that, complete disregard of this, right? So it's always says, well, it will lead to real world harm. That's just the line that they use now. What if you question something that they don't like? Well, it could lead to someone acting on that and doing something bad, and so therefore you don't have the right to say those things, right? That, do you understand what's going to happen to speech in that way overall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, do you think they'll end with this? No, of course not. Then it'll be the COVID thing, and then it'll be the vaccine, and that'll be if you're and we've seen that on social media too. Like just the news just tightens and tightens and tightens.
Right? And it's always this Holocaust TM, you know. So it's trademarked. Like there's only been one Holocaust in history.
Yep. So the whole field of revisionism is already so being choked out on social media, on websites, and all this kind of stuff, right? But so anyway, that's moving ahead. That's what they're doing in the middle of, this is the biggest issue that we have to deal with right now.
It's never enough for them. They have to hit it from like every single angle constantly, every year, every 6 months. Yeah,
it's incredible. January 27th here, so next Thursday, we have the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Coming up, by the way, so make sure you celebrate. Well, I mean, yeah, you know what. All right. Should we do the next one?
Yeah, so I hear some people are getting excited, thinking that in Europe, they're, we'll get to this one, are easing off some of the COVID restrictions. I've saw different countries that were listed, Switzerland, Portugal, Greece. Yay, they're loosening up on COVID restrictions. I'm going to get through some of those countries, but there are some updates in Europe. So England... I would say England, Ireland, Denmark, good stuff is actually happening there. England, they're ending their COVID passports, their mask mandates, their work restrictions. Czech Republic had said that they invalidated the former government's directive on mandatory vaccines for selected groups, so that's gone. Northern Ireland, yay, you can enter into bars and clubs and restaurants now without a vax pass, right? Unless it's over 500 people. But Ireland's premier confirmed that COVID-19, I hate saying that anymore, that basically all the restrictions will be lifted. And this rule, they say, which will remain in place, will be, actually, they still have face masks, still have rules for face masks, self-isolating, and after testing positive. And then COVID passes for international travel still remains. Well, that's not really lifting a vaccine pass, is it? So you basically can't leave Ireland and come back in and travel around without a vaccine pass, right? So it's not that great. Denmark, they ended all their restrictions, all of it. Unfortunately, 80% of their population over 12 is double vaxxed. So we'll see how long this lasts.
That's crazy.
Now, people are talking about Switzerland. Well, they're still quarantined. They're still working from home. They're just doing away with the COVID test for vaccinated people to enter the country. That's it. And unvaxxed people still have to take it, right? And then Portugal, the big news... They're easing up on restrictions. What are they doing? I looked it up. They're allowing people with COVID or people who have tested positive to go and vote in the election. right?
Yeah, because and those you are know unvaccinated. Who otherwise would not go vote, yeah. And you know that that would spell disaster for them, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. Greece, people, oh, they're lighting up, complete freedom, .. for the vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all they're doing is ending curfews and movement bans. Ooh, ooh, so much freedom now. We don't have a curfew and we can travel anywhere right we want, right?
See that? That's on the screen there. That's where this is going.
Yeah, exactly.
The digital all-seeing
eye. I'm getting my freedom back. There's no curfew.
No.
Italy, there's no change except I'll show you that article. Except now Africans can come back into the country.
Yeah, finally. Right? Was there a stop
because
on
they
that
were
for
worried
a while?
About Omicron and like all these coming from Southern Africa. They don't say South Africa, Southern Africa. So that for a time they didn't allow them to come in. Oh my gosh, that's racist and horrible. Hopefully this is going to be over soon. So now they can come back in, but there's no tourism. No tourism. They can come in to see. I think as the article has says, you can come in for work. Health reasons, study reasons, absolute urgency, and it's absolutely urgent that these Africans go to Italy, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. No,
or return to one's or return to one's home or residence. Okay. So No one else, just these Africans, right? Spain, a few regions they've ended the vaccine pass, but everywhere else it's still in place. I saw even in Murcia there was a ban on dancing. You can't even dance when you're out. It's crazy. Belgium, they extended openings for bars and restaurants and indoor activities and play areas. And they said venues with good ventilation could host more people. Gee, thank you. Netherlands, what's the big news? They opened up some non-essential stores. Hairdressers and gyms will be allowed to reopen. So you can go and get your haircut now in the Netherlands. All this freedom. I don't even know what we're going to do with it.
There's so much for you. Just the winning. Are you tired of winning yet?
Yeah, we're just
so
winning.
The reason why this was, you know, we went into this too, the topics, because we saw this on, you saw it on Twitter first, and then we see like
listing
we saw,
all these countries.
Yeah, like, it's happening. We're
they're
like,
easing
they're,
off. We're getting our
we're
way.
Winning, right?
And then It's like, I look and it's like pathetic. Like a couple little, oh, you could go get your hair cut now. There's no curfew. Yay, you know?
Even if we tomorrow got rid of all everything, right? Like all the vaccine mandates everywhere, lockdowns, masks, what else are they pushing? The vaccine passport, the digital ID, like all these, you know, the checks and on your health and the centralizing of systems and all that stuff that's happening in the background in the guise of protecting us from COVID, right? Even if that was done away with tomorrow, none of it is a victory.
No.
It would simply just mean that we not only actually returned to the state in the bad state that we were in before this pandemic or before our authorities started acting out, reacting to this supposed pandemic, it would be worse because now we have a majority of people in the West that are vaccinated and we don't even know what the full consequence of that going to be yet. This is not a win. And it's not to demoralize people and say, you know, it all sucks. Great. Like, let's do away with this. Like, let's drop all of these things in every country. Let's begin there. It's a good start too. But like, this is how they do it. This is how they play the game. They do something that's so difficult for you and so horrible in many regards.
Two steps forward, one step back.
And then you feel like you've won when they still have advanced all their agendas over the last couple of years. Again, look at just all the businesses that have been destroyed. All the wealth, we'll talk about that here too a little bit later, of how much money they've made, these elitists, right? At the top of the food chain here. Under the guise of the pandemic and, you know, keeping certain businesses open and closing others and stuff, right? So it's not a win. Whatever happens, it's not a win. Going back to normal is not a win. It just basically means we're back to normal. We're back to how we were before, but it still sucks. And also, everyone has been vaccinated, basically.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. It's horrible. And then I saw this other article that was talking about the fertility rate, right? Jaw-dropping global crash and children being born. What is going on, right? They say there's a global crisis, no kids are being born, and this is being said by globalists who want to depopulate us, right? But they pretend that they care and they act like this is a big concern, right? So they can present this horrible solution. So what countries are most affected? Italy, Spain, Portugal, Japan, South Korea, numerous European countries, of course. Meanwhile, you have places like China, India, Nigeria, and Africa in general are just exploding, right?
Yeah.
So they ask in this article, what is the problem? Why? Gee, I wonder why these people, mostly in the West, are not having kids. Years of climate change, don't have propaganda. Kids propaganda, liberalism, feminism, anti-whiteness in the West. It's like it's a no-brainer. And in Japan and South Korea, it's like they're going to be fine. Just leave them alone. Numbers ebb and flow. They're not getting hammered by mass immigration like us, right? So what's the solution by these experts that they propose in here? I know you guys all know. They say migration will become a necessity for all nations and not an option. To be successful, we need a fundamental rethink of global politics. The distribution of working age populations will be crucial to whether humanity prospers or withers. Or, you know, we're going to wither in the West without all these Africans coming in. Professor Murray says we will have many more people of African descent in many more countries as we go through this.
We're just going through.
It's just being done to us. So in other words, yeah, they say import Africans or you're going to wither and die. Of course, this is a blatant lie because we'd thrive without these third worlders flooding our countries. And they act like we're already extinct, right? Like this is just happening and you're dying. And so we have to bring in all these people. If they really cared, they'd have incentives for couples to make more babies. But they don't want more European babies, right? They want us to get vaxxed, die, or become infertile, to not procreate, and then to be replaced by Africans. So then elites can rule without us pesky white people in the way because we ask too many questions, right? Remember, not too long ago, and I remember this in the 90s, it was considered genocide when the Chinese flooded Tibet. You guys remember that?
Yep.
They know it's genocidal to flood a nation with foreigners, making the native population a minority. It's no longer Denmark when you flood Denmark with Nigerians. And they know this. And because they know this and they know that we know this, they've updated the lingo, adding their trickery to try and convince us that we should accept it because it's necessary and good. But no, it's still a genocide.
Yes, it is. This is the, everything. I mean, they don't bring up the vaccine, of course, in this article, but you can just imagine that would be an issue weaved into this as well. It's sometimes they prepare us, right, for the things that they, like, it's the same thing as with the heart issues, for example, right? They're beginning to drop the seeds now of like, oh, just that's normal with the heart attacks. It's just random that kids get it all the time, right? And this, maybe this is kind of the same way. It's like, oh, no. The fertility was a huge issue before the vaccine was even rolled out. There were articles about the professors were talking about this and stuff. So if this really starts getting out of control when it comes to like future generations and those who are kids now and they grow up and they're going to have kids and because they've been vaxxed, they can't or something like that. Let's say those become real issues, right? We would be in this kind of children of men type scenario at that point. But they can just cover their ass and just say, oh, no, that's just, we knew that this is what happened before. They can even point to like, oh, no, that's because of the phthalates and environmentalism and stuff, right? But we know. All of these things work together to create this scenario. And ultimately, this is what they want. And again, this is why.
And who's being affected the most? European countries. Sure, you have South Korea and Japan, but they're going to be fine. You know, they bounce back. They've got their own reasons. But this is mostly geared to the West.
Yes, it is. This is what they want. The new Europeans right there. Like they want us replaced, right? We show these headlines all the time, but it's good for you guys to get a reminder. This is what they want. This is what they're doing. And again, couple that with the fact that we have a very low vaccination rate in the West. In the rest of the world. The West has the highest uptake of vaccines. And I still hear them. I still hear these... The other day, Bill Gates was on the World Economic Forum panel, and he's like, "Well, we got to give up those licenses or the patents essentially to the vaccine, so we can provide it to the third world." There's 2 years later, they're still talking about this, but they're not doing anything about it. It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know that first, but another story that was also related actually to a migrant family, but it's still evidence
India.
Of the insanity. With the COVID restrictions in Canada that a family wanted to leave, right?
So they were walking, they tried to walk, coming from India, it's warm, they don't realize it's freaking cold in the north, right? So some guy was helping, dropped off this Indian family, and they had an infant and another kid or something, they thought they were just going to walk from Canada into America, I think it was like into Minnesota or something, and they ended up freezing to death. right? They all died. They were ill-prepared, and I don't know why they thought that they could do. I mean, in their case, they could probably just drive across the border and get in and be fine. I don't know why they felt the need that they had to be smuggled like this.
Yep.
You know what? Because they didn't have their papers? Please, they wouldn't care about that. Welcome to America, you know?
That's right.
Anyway, this guy is probably a white guy. I don't know. Oh, is he a white guy? I don't know. Is being charged now for, I think, smuggling and maybe manslaughter or something? I'm not sure.
Shit. I don't know. I saw a couple on Odyssey. I don't mean to avoid those guys. I just, I can't sort after dates on the chats. I'll try to find those and I'll take those in just a moment. But thank you for those on Odyssey. Did you have any others?
I do. Yeah, I'm okay. Backing up here. Yep. Oh, Dog Whistler. I missed that one. Sorry. As the words leave Mr. Biden's brain and go to his mouth, it's a perilous journey. Yes. Conservative thinker. This was back to Yellen when she was talking about the minorities who have been so hurt by COVID.
Being in America,
the pandemic too. Didn't hurt poor people. Poor people made bank on unemployment. That's true. They did.
It's true. And it hurts, again, middle class, normal working class people.
Business owners.
And it paid off for the elites. How about that?
Black Phillip, Henrik, and Lana, right now the crypto market seems to be crashing, but remember the elites hate crypto, so I would watch the market carefully. Stocks seem to be doing poorly, too. The best and safest investment now seems to be land and precious metals.
Yeah, I mean, I think
crypto is going to bounce up, though.
It usually does. Buy the dip. I'm just going to find a coin market cap here and see if we can find it. It will do that, and you will always have people that are like, oh, that's it, it's over, it's going to go to zero, and it will never come back. I fundamentally think that the use case for many cryptos, but specifically Bitcoin, there's others too, that is going to be more and more needed, and you're going to, as the dollar collapse, as the euro weakens, and as all these other currencies, it's by design, right? Look, it's going to crash. I think they think that they're going to be able to take down the crypto system with them or something like that at that point, or pass laws against it or something like that. But even despite all, China banning it and all these various countries, and now the EU is trying to say, oh, mining is dangerous for the environment, you can't mine Bitcoin anymore. Even despite that, it has overall a steady, huge increase over the last few, years here, right? So
yeah,
I think it'll recover. So just hang in there, hodl and buy the dip if you can. But it's going to be something, I think, where big companies and other things, as they see the decline of the dollar and other currencies, they'll put at least a percentage of some of their assets in Bitcoin. And when they do, ka-chung, it'll take off.
I think so, too.
I'm positive. Long-term.
Glenn the Chinaman, hello. Do the opposite of what the UN says. Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's a good, general good thumb, right?
D-Rock, 33, 1488. Cheers. Lycan Warrior, on behalf of Based in Ghana, Sydney Watson said she would be happy to have them on their show. It could be a good draw for new Red Ice viewers. You mean, I had Sydney Watson on several years ago.
Yeah, Based in Ghana. Who does that?
I'm not sure who that is.
I actually don't sure either. And people are like, "What? Do you not know?" sometimes we just don't know.
I remember Sydney Watson though. I had her on, several years ago. Okay, we'll check it out. Thank you.
Or is it a misprint? Maybe it's Based something, anyway, we'll check it out. But okay, cool.
Cuck Free Zone. If it's going down, that could be a short ploy for our enemies to buy it up.
Crypto, yes. Yeah. That's why you shouldn't get out, right? It's always the same. They consolidate, they buy up more. They buy it cheaper, too, right? They have their whales, and they have the ability to crash it when and if they want to. Yeah. Okay. Let's see what else we have. I'm going to move somewhat quickly through this so we can get to some of the other stuff we have here, too. Big news. Federal court has basically suggested and ordered that the Biden's federal employee vaccine mandate be dropped. That's good news, right? Again, it doesn't mean it's not a victory, but it's like
they're ordering them, or they're calling on them to do it, but we'll see what actually comes of that.
Yep.
Right, because we'll have much faith in these courts, but we'll see.
We will see. It's that's what it is, right? More evidence, of course, here that the vaccine works very well. It works very well, close to 100% efficacy, as everyone said in the beginning. So basically, one of the countries that has a vaccination rate of as high as you can get it, basically, not quite 100%, but basically there, Israel. They are now the number one leader, if you will, per capita of daily COVID cases. And yes, cases don't mean shit. We don't look at that and say we should act according to what some cases are. But this must suck for those who are talking about that and believe in the official numbers all the time, because it basically shows that one of the most vaccinated countries in the world keeps having cases for some weird reason. Why is that, right? This is another story here, too, regarding... actually, let me play a couple of clips first. We'll get to this one with the intracranial infection. That's just insane, right? All these weird health things, for some reason, are popping out. Let's play a couple of clips. Here's from Quebec. Do you want to line this up for us, or should we just play it, Lana?
Play it.
All right, look at this. Subtitled. It's in French. Read these subtitles.
Vous vaccinez, vous autres?
Oui. Tous les deux, on a une seule dose.
Ah oui? Puis est-ce que vous êtes d'accord, vous autres, avec la vaccination obligatoire?
Some spelling errors, but you get the point.
Oui. Ah oui, hein?
Wow.
On dirait que je les ai drillés, Julie.
Oui. Puis qu'est-ce qu'on devrait faire avec les gens qui ne veulent pas se faire vacciner?
On devrait appeler la police.
Ouh! Oui. Oui. Oui.
S'ils n'ont pas leur vaccin, ça peut mettre beaucoup de personnes en danger. Fait que comme le gouvernement est en train de faire en ce moment, il faut leur couper petite chose à petite. Jusqu'à temps qu'ils se tannent et qu'ils se fassent vacciner.
En tout cas, on a des futurs politiciens à côté de nous. Merci.
Look at this.
That's a future total politician right there.
Total brainwashing. This is a Quebec talk show. They're celebrating these young kids basically ratting out people who are unvaccinated, right? Calling the police. I mean, where do you think these little kids learn it from? This little girl doesn't just pick up this lingo. And look, and then she gets praised by everyone. Oh, I did right. I said right. Okay,
the cops on everybody? Whoa, that's awesome.
Even
great.
My own parents. Okay, I'm getting applauded. So this is conditioning me to behave this way now.
It's insane.
It's outrageous.
Maniacs. Also, of course, more ads are being released regarding the normalization of young people having random heart attacks for no reason whatsoever.
Come on, Stephanie!
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
That's right. Oh, and let's play this one. It speaks for itself, right? This one as well. You got to get up to date. You got to get updated, right? Remember the vaccines are 1.0. The 1.1 vaccine is soon out. It's a code. They're updating your code. Okay, you're a robot to them. You're a programmable robot. And 1.1, and you need to get up to date, updated. Listen to her language here. Get updated. Get the latest jabs.
Make sure that everybody is as up to date with their COVID-19 vaccines as they personally could be, should be, based on when they got their last vaccine. So importantly, right now, we're pivoting our language. We really want to make sure people are up to date. That means if you recently got your second dose, you're not eligible for a booster, you're up to date. If you are eligible for a booster and you haven't gotten it, you're not up to date, and you need to get your booster in order to be up to date.
You like that?
Never-ending boosters.
Be up to date. You got to be up to date.
Or be boosted every few months.
So I haven't gone through this yet, but Steve Kirsch has some good stuff around Substack. Intracranial infection cases up 60-fold since the vaccines were rolled out. And he always writes it in this way, but it can't be because of the vaccines or the masks or the swabs, since they're all safe and effective, right? According to the CDC, my experts think it is all three infectious diseases. Docs say nothing is wrong. Ignore it. That's right. That's kind of their strategy so far. We just basically ignore it, and then you write an article about it. It's totally normal. This has always been like this. Always happened. This one I haven't seen yet. Was this one? Good. Should we?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. Just telling off Macron, this is about COVID, yeah.
So Croatian MEP Mislav Kolakuzic addressing the French President Macron in the EU Parliament.
Poštovana predsjednice, poštovane kolege, dragi građani Europske unije, predsjedniče Macron, s obzirom na brojna ukidanja i ograničenja građanskih prava i sloboda u Francuskoj tijekom pandemije, ja vas molim samo jednu stvar, a to je da dok predsjedate Europskom unijom, činite upravo suprotno svemu onome što ste činili u Francuskoj. S druge strane, danas ste istaknuli da ste ponosni što u Europi ne postoji smrtna kazna. Desetine tisuća građana su preminule od posljedica cijepljenja. Obvezno cijepljenje predstavlja smrtnu kaznu i istovremeno izvršenje smrtne kazne za brojne građane. To mora ostati izbor svakog građana.
Being killed should be a choice.
Ubojstvo je ubojstvo. Vi koji to ne znate i niste se educirali, imate službene stranice Evropske zdravstvene organizacije.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. There was cut them off. But that's good that there's guys that are saying that. Like, you're murdering people.
That's right. And I didn't even check some of the latest stats, but Health Impact News is a pretty good size site, which you can go to. Over 1 million deaths and injuries following COVID vaccine reported in VAERS as second year of experimental use authorization begins. But, you know, VAERS is just a bunch of right-wingers that are intentionally, you know, doing fake reports and submissions. That's basically
funny,
the case.
It wasn't
right now.
Until all this time, and now it is, right?
Yep. 3,306 fetal deaths in VAERS, right? And again, this is VAERS is underreported. Underreported. Mm-hmm. We don't even know by how much. It's generally assumed anywhere from 1 to 10% are only reported there, right? And usually they have a Health Impact News, they have the Yggdrasil, how do you pronounce that in one word? The European version, Yggdrasil or something like that. They link that up somewhat regularly, and that's good too. And of course, we've had higher numbers there. The population in Europe is, can I go back here, please? The population in Europe is bigger than America, so you'd have more impacts on that front as well. But yeah, check out the source. They cover this somewhat regularly when new data is out. Here we go. Here's the latest European database. 37,927 deaths and 3,392,632 injuries following COVID shots in European database as young people continue to die. So, you know,
nothing is happening
whatsoever. It's totally fine, right? So let's talk a little bit about the next pandemic here too, right? There's some insane bioweapons research that's happening right in Texas, actually. There is a NIH, right? Fauci's NIH program that's running where they're injecting Ebola, however
Why?
You pronounce it, into animals and then watching them die, right?
Why?
They're doing gain-of-function research with Ebola, or you can call it, there's a subset, we'll talk about that in a moment here, but Marburg. It's basically Ebola. It's kind of a, it's different on some issues. Maybe Marburg is the engineered one, I'm not sure, but anyway, they're kind of somewhat similar, right? And so they're doing it in Texas. What if they would accidentally release something like this, right, Ebola?
Oops, it got out.
You know, we know COVID was, I mean, most likely it was intentionally released. I mean, it was a bioweapon. It is a bioweapon to the development of it. Maybe it was the vaccine all along. That was the point of it and so forth, right? But they've meddled with these things. That's admitted now. It's right in the open. Fauci lied. We know all these things, right? So they're funding gain-of-function research with live Ebola viruses on primates in Texas. And of course, what happens if some of this would get out, right? The other thing of it too, despite the fact of one of the headlines I'm going to show here, they're claiming that they're working. Oh well, we have to work on vaccines, right? In case
Ebola comes back, do we have a big problem with that in the West? No,
they're going to have it. It seems like is it going to be the next pandemic? We don't know. Maybe.
And
smallpox,
can you imagine being that person sitting there and injecting these animals and then just like studying them while they're like being tortured and dying, like?
The good news is, if you get Ebola, you will die. You will die in a very painful way as you bleed and basically like disintegrate from the inside. You will bleed from every cavity.
Yeah, not a fun way.
Eyes and mouth and butt and ears and every cavity can have, right? So of course, again, they're playing around with this in a lab. Here's Tyler Morning Telegraph, that's down in Texas, right? Prestigious Texas lab cited again for animal deaths. A prestigious laboratory in Texas already under federal investigation after inspectors determined didn't do enough to prevent
Who's
the suffering
these?
Of primates.
Go after them criminally.
And is facing more scrutiny after animals in another study were found dead. What if one of these animals get out or something like that, right, too? And I think they list Marburg in here. Yeah, the preliminary report from the federal investigation of the Gaveston lab found a variety of procural arrows, blah, blah, blah. The lab had a contract with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Gee, who's behind that again? To develop a strain of the Marburg virus that could be used on a macaque monkey. To find a cure, that's right. To find a cure, we have to meddle with it and make it as contagious and dangerous to humans as possible. And then we can make
a
vaccine.
Find a cure for something that's not even a concern here.
8 monkeys were found dead in their cages in 2014. 4 others were euthanized. The Marburg virus has similarities to Ebola and is among the most virulent pathogens known to infect people, according to the World Health Organization. Here's another story. UTMB in Galveston defends treatment of research monkeys and other lab practices. Again, same under this guise of studying the Marburg / Ebola virus, right? Against all odds, the inside story of how scientists across three continents produced an Ebola vaccine.
Study so this is in Africa,
January
then.
7th,
where it is.
2020, right? So this is about a year ago now. And usually this has kind of been the timeline. They do something 1 year and then the next or the following that, or what, anywhere from 1 to 3 years later, something happens with what they were working on and had this, right? So they claim that they have this vaccine now against Ebola, right? Even if it would work, I wouldn't trust it at all, right? And here's even Tedros from the World Health Organization talking about this Marburg, dropping this little hint a while ago. Listen to this throwback here.
Who have been identified as high-risk close contacts. Marburg is a very different virus to the one that caused COVID-19. But many of the elements of the response are the same. Isolating and caring for those.
Really? You're gonna shut that down right now for me? Twitter?
Isolating and caring for those.
Let me refresh that page then. Let me see. It's such an important speech.
So the name Ebola comes from Ebola River, which is in West Africa.
Oh, look that's at that. Where they this tweet is from first... a suspended account.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
They kill it halfway through. Thank you, Twitter. Okay. All right, whatever. You get the idea. He's talking about Marburg, and Marburg is very dangerous, and it's going to be Marburg, blah, blah, blah. Marburg virus, man who died in Guinea found to have disease. Remember, there was a... Texas, too, one of the reasons there, I think there were some cases. I forget if it was Texas or where.
From Africa, yes, remember? It was migrants open, that were coming in. I remember this.
Yep, and they brought it in.
Was it like in 2020, I think?
It's happened somewhat regularly. And all of a sudden, someone shows up and whoops, there's an Ebola case. Whoop, exactly. There's Marburg coming in.
So it actually comes from animals, wild animals, they say, and then it's spread from human to human. So yeah, exactly. A monkey gets out, that's it, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what they always... who knows at this point? They could just be making all kinds of shit up, to be honest. I'd say, I don't trust any of the shit. I think it's like, I don't know. Anyway, that's what they're claiming, right? And of course, this as well, another little drop, or hint dropped, rather, by Bill Gates, Financial Times. I think this is just a few days ago. Bill Gates warns of pandemic potentially far worse than COVID. Philanthropist and totally not Jeffrey Epstein buddy, Bill Gates calls on governments to contribute billions to tackle future pathogens and increase vaccine supplies.
Like, why do people listen to this guy? It's amazing.
No one elected him for anything, and yet there he is, right? Let me read a little bit here. You have to keep in mind, when they say that they want billions and billions of dollars to prevent something, that's the funding to do something.
To create something,
that's basically
yes,
what
absolutely.
They mean. Bill Gates has issued a warning of pandemics far worse than COVID-19, as he called on government to contribute billions of dollars to prepare for the next global outbreak. The next one is coming, too. The philanthropists, thank you, Financial Times, for clarifying that, said that while the Omicron and Delta variants of coronavirus were some of the most transmissive viruses ever seen, the world could have faced a pathogen causing a far higher rate of fatalities or severe disease. Now, of course, the trade-off here is as soon as it starts killing people, then it doesn't spread as far, because the more deadly it is, the quicker it disappears, because it can't spread to everybody. So I'm sure they're working on that at this moment. Of something that actually spreads, so-called asymptomatic spreading, right? So it spreads literally to everybody. No one knows that they have it. And then 2 months later, they all die of this Ebola, bleeding out of your ass death, whatever. I'm sorry. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the UK Wellcome Trust, that's a very important group, by the way. They have had a finger in this current rollout of the bioweapon and all that kind of stuff, too. Very important, the Wellcome Trust. Engineering, DNA research, all that kind of crazy stuff, are giving $300 million to the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. And the head of that, by the way, again, so this is Bill Gates paying that. And recently, and I played it part of that, or I showed part of that session at the World Economic Forum, the Davos Agenda, in the Wednesday show, where Bill Gates shows up with the head of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations to talk to everybody of what do we do now? What's next here in the pandemic and stuff, right? So they're all buddy-buddy interconnected. They pay, they fund each other and stuff, right? The World Economic Forum is like funded by, but I think it's about 1,000 big businesses and stuff, right? And of course, they're the ones who are benefiting from the new policies that the World Economic Forum advocates for, obviously, right? So they claim that this is all bullshit, right? They claim, which this helped the COVAX program to deliver vaccines to low and middle income countries. No, that still is not, no. It's still not happening on a wider scale. CEPI is trying to raise $3.5 billion as it aims to cut the time required to develop a new vaccine to just 100 days. Gates said the world's priorities were strange, that it had fallen to philanthropists and rich governments to address vaccine inequity. Well, they're still not doing away with the patents. And last thing here I want to read. Let me see here. Where is it here? Or maybe that was it. About his talking. I guess it was about the 100 days. Okay, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, because now moving forward, now it's just going to be warp speed vaccines all the time for whatever new pandemic it is. And they're going to get rich and people are going to get hurt or die.
He described how CEPI was formed 5 years ago after the 2014 to 2015 Ebola epidemic. We were then and we are now living in what I think is an era of more frequent and more complex epidemics and
Isn't
pandemics.
Isn't it amazing? Just one day the switch comes on and that's it. Okay, we're in the era of pandemics and epidemics. Yep. Like, it was fine all this time.
And again, the vaccine rollout, like, again, the quicker a vaccine rollout is, the more questions you would have, both regarding safety, but also, like, basically, before you've been able to figure out, like, wait a minute, what's going on? What is this? Before you even start, no, it's fine. Here's the vaccine.
Now this is just going to be standard.
Straight to the vaccine.
Moving ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
So check out this too. World Economic Forum. We're talking about them here and the latest with them and their Davos Agenda Forum. The Global Risk Report 2022 revealed the top risks facing the world. So what can we do about it? It's always this problem, reaction, solution methodology that they have, right? But check this little chart they have here in the further down in the article. Here it is right here. Top short-term global risks, right? This is what, again, this is what they're telling you, what they have in the pipeline, essentially. Extreme weather, and we know what that means. That's weather manipulation, basically, but they'll blame global warming, and then they have to suck all the carbon out of the air to kill everybody and everything, right? Livelihood crises, yeah, that's because of what you did, right? What you brought on with the lockdowns and stuff, right? Supply chain issues. Climate action failure, I'm not sure what that means. Social cohesion erosion. Yeah, maybe something with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals of opening the borders of Western countries have something to do with social cohesion erosion. But I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I can't, do an expert opinion on that. Infectious diseases. Mental health deterioration. Look at this shit here.
That's already happening.
Of course it is. And it's mostly their fault, right? Their fault. Cybersecurity failure. We know what that is, that's all the gay ops with, like, the electrical grid went down just when it was as coldest in North America and Europe. What is that about? Debt crisis, yeah, because that's totally not to do with the bankers and what they're doing, right? Digital inequity, that's right. So the meta universe or verse that you're going to enter into soon will also have a bunch of inequities in it, folks. We gotta hand over the digital property and the realty in metaverse. Asset bubble burst. There you go. It's the last one there. Asset bubble burst. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's when they can bring in all of their systems that they have ready to go. Oh, well, no, we have a solution for the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, communism 2.0.
We have a global currency, a central bank digital currency for that.
Yeah, nightmare.
All right. So anyway, so that's kind of interesting. Let me see what else we had here. What are we time-wise? I guess we should wrap up here, huh?
Yeah, you can.
Let me do the richest men. Let me do that one real quick. Real quick. Fact checked once again. The Great Reset is the World Economic Forum's proposal for a post-COVID economic recovery. Reuters and the BBC report. It's totally nothing. It's totally nothing to do with anything, right?
It's hilarious when
Here's
they do this now.
Compilation.
They do this all the time.
All the time. Look at this. It's just. It's not at all an agenda that all of the people in political leadership are getting aboard on, and so forth. Listen to this.
And the disruption is an opportunity for us to reset.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity. For a reset.
A golden opportunity to build something better. He calls it the Great Reset.
For my part, through my Sustainable Markets Initiative and the Great Reset,
I want to achieve a Great Reset to rewrite Japan's blueprint.
You finished, right? State during
Well, the Great Reset.
William,
I just pulled that out of my ass.
That we're about to see a Great Reset.
I'm hopeful that we're going to have a Great Reset.
Next year's event, titled The Great Reset,
the pandemic presents an opportunity.
And it goes on from there.
Yeah. But I mean, we've heard it nonstop.
Yeah.
So it's just hilarious when they try
and
to tell
check.
Us. And
fact check.
Just in our mind.
And remember this, the even fact check when the letters that were leaked from the Dutch, I'm sorry, I said Freedom Party last time. It's the, what do they call it again? Forum for Democracy. I always forget what their name is, right? In the Netherlands, the Dutch politicians, they got their hands on these little papers here, right? The little letters from Klaus Schwab and his buddies there, sending it to people in the Netherlands. And these letters go out to everybody, right? Everyone that's aboard are getting these.
And they're
right?
Like, oh, I like that term. I'll start using it, right?
Where they talk about the Great Reset. They talked about the different things. What are you going to be a part of when we reboot everything again? And
you'll be rewarded. You'll be in the in club, right?
Yeah, when we've collapsed the system and we have a new global order in place, then you'll get to be part of that for being a good boy, essentially, right? But that was also fact-checked. Oh, no. It's just letters. They just show 51st annual meeting invites. It's just the meeting invites. There's nothing in there about them talking about how grateful they were that they lined up with the Great Reset. You know, anyway, we've gone through them in the past. We don't have to do that, right? So I guess is the last one we do here because it dovetails with this whole the elite thing that we're talking about and whatever. World's 10 richest men doubled their wealth during pandemic, Oxfam reports. Mm-hmm. Now, they're far left group, and they talk about, like, all these dumb other things in their report about inequity and, you know, like, but they don't, there's nothing in there like how just normal working class families and people or small business owners have lost their stuff, right? It's almost like, oh, you know, people in Africa and so forth. It's fine. You know, you do you, that's fine, right? But the point is, here they are, right? These are the 10... 10 guys.
And they're not right wingers.
That they list. They're not. These are not fascists. These are communists infected. They're neoliberalists who are infected by communism, or they're communists. They're using neoliberal capitalism to bring in their stuff. Right. But interesting side note here. At least officially, 50% of the people that you see on this list. Do not belong to the 1%. They actually belong to the 0.2%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's more. I'm not sure, but make that what you will. Forbes actually has a real-time monitoring on the people that have gained the most and so forth of the different billionaires around the world. They have today's winners and losers. A lot of Chinese men here too, but they have ups and downs. And how many? Look at that. Mark Zuckerberg lost 4.7 billion. Oh, I'm sorry. 9 billion for Bezos. Okay. Oh, shit. 11 billion for Elon Musk. He must be doing really bad. Anyway, so here's the list that they're basing this. The Oxfam is, I think they're basing it partly
it's
on this
crazy.
List here.
It's crazy.
But this is who gained. From it, and of course, Elon Musk, the top of that chart, right? People still think Elon Musk is some kind of rebel, and he's going to save.
No.
No, he's talking negatively about AI.
He's just good at getting money through not really doing stuff, making other people do stuff, and then he makes money off of
he
it.
Right? He takes the idea. So the Tesla Roadster was not developed by him. He outcompeted the guy who actually the actual inventor of it, right? I saw a good video the other day. I didn't know this. His dad was a pedophile. His dad had a kid with his stepdaughter.
Sick. So maybe he was abused growing up.
It's very possible. I mean, Elon Musk is basically a cunning criminal who was in the right place at the right time, right? With the PayPal purchase and transformation, Peter Thiel came in the right time for him there, but he made a lot of money on that. And then, of course, he's gotten all these government contracts because of the. Solar City went under, but a lot of subsidizing with Tesla and all these electrical vehicles and stuff like that. And now it's SpaceX, which is more, you know, NASA's hiring them and stuff for the stuff, right? It can be hard to pin down, but I think most of his kind of the eccentric kind of inventor type thing that he's putting on is probably a persona. It's just a fake persona that he puts on. I could be wrong, but it's probably what he's looking. He's basically a criminal minded, this guy. And again, he's the guy, while he's warning you about AI and the future and all that stuff, he's the guy who's going to do computer brain implants now and with this Neuralink, right? So they're getting closer to human trials now. And, you know, the FDA will just approve it like that. He's a guy on the inside. He's the people's mind is Marvel Universe. They have these superhero things, and he's like the rich business guy who's like nighttime. He's fighting crime, but he's like a philanthropist during daytime. That's what they think Elon Musk is. Yeah. So anyway, don't trust him, and whatever you do, refuse this technology. You know,
computer
brain interface shit. Do not do it.
I don't think our people never are going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get caught up here. Yeah. Conservative thinker, stop calling it COVID, Zaza. It's Chinese AIDS.
Okay. Yeah. It's not China that did it, though. But it's a click at the very top, but the U.S. had as much to do with it. Or U.S. nationals had as much to do with it as China.
Cuck-free zone says Gates really means we are now in the era of biowarfare, intentionally inaugurated by psychopaths like me. Yeah.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Black Phillip, guys, how do I explain to normies and shitlibs that states like Idaho won't become coastal real estate by 2030? The programming is so real and persuasive, they stop critically thinking.
Well, you could, yeah. Well, because we don't want them here anyway. Because, yeah, they think it's gonna go, everything's gonna sink or whatever, right? But it will never happen. But then they'll say, well, that's
hopefully California sinks. God, New York, that'd be
earthquake
great.
Would be.
I've been
fine.
Praying for the big one, and it never comes to California.
No, I know.
Been waiting for years. Remember Coast to Coast and Art Bell talking about how California was going to go one day and break off, and tsunamis and all this.
I mean, maybe it will. I mean, we don't know the timeline on that. But they will probably say, well, it's because we sucked all the carbon out of the atmosphere that saved us, right? That's actually going to be killing us, but, you know, short term before, you know, we can't grow any crops anymore because all the carbon is gone. They'll probably say, well, we averted global warming. See, that we made it, right?
Cuck-free zone. Oh, going back to Lucinda there, Kiwi. Cuck-free zone. The great horse mouth, yes. It's all
no, no, he's talking
there.
About me.
This all no, it's just all teeth and
let's review that again.
Yeah, it's just big teeth, very large teeth.
Disruption is an opportunity for us to reset.
I just
think about it every time I see her, and I've seen her so many times, and I stare at those teeth. Like her mouth is just
gnashing of teeth.
Man. Bill Biz says, thank you for the donation. Did you see where BuzzFeed was going crazy because Representative Lauren Boebert asked a Jewish group touring the Capitol if they were there to do reconnaissance?
That's awesome.
I did not hear about that one.
That's awesome. It's funny
good
when those kinds
BuzzFeed,
of things slip
huh?
out. Yeah, exactly. That's funny. And she probably literally, I mean, you get that with these MAGA people. She's
innocent, totally.
No, she probably meant it like, no, you're the guys who own and control this, obviously. Like, we know that. And that's a great thing. I didn't mean it that. No.
That's what I mean. You're just bored.
Remember the guy, too? This is funny when they said that, but I neglected to mention it earlier, but the Holocaust, they're banning revisionism and things that they call Holocaust denial. But again, but, you know, anything, if you're interested in it historically and you're asking the wrong questions, banned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which one it was. This was a GOP guy. He said, we should have objectivity and accuracy when we teach about things like the Holocaust and other
historical
events.
And we should hear
events,
another
he
side or something, or the other
I don't even
side
think he said that.
Something.
He just said
someone
we should
did
be,
say that.
Yeah,
recently.
Someone said that too. But there was like this outrage, like this perception that we have to exaggerate and lie and obfuscate and just.
Like you can't even hear another side when it comes to World War II.
No,
it's not even on the table. It's unthinkable.
To convince people how bad it is or was. We have to exaggerate and lie so that they will really believe how bad it is. Wouldn't truth be enough? Anyway, it's bullshit. All right, guys.
I don't like the
truth. We're way over time here, way overdue. Please join us, redicemembers.com. Get a membership. Weekend Warrior. Check out our exclusive show. We have exclusive videos, second hour, many of the interviews that we've done as well. It's all up on redicemembers.com. Right now, you can do so if you want to join with a credit card, debit card, whatever, Subscribestar, or enter the stream. Those are good options. Subscribe, Star. We're trying to grow our audience over there, of course. And we'll do our little thing here soon. We'll do a second poll, by the way, soon, because it looks like that will be winning out the video option or unique or special video about a specific topic that will win out in our little 300 celebration poll. So we'll give more information about that soon. Entropystream.live/redice. You can do it there as well. Where's my sources here? We also have crypto options. Where are those? There are a couple of them, crypto options. And we have an e-check options option as well, if you're in the U.S., Cash App option, and a mailing address if you want to try it that way. But I think that's it for us then today here, Lana. I'm getting tired. Right. I got to get some food. I'm hungry.
Fading. Are you getting hangry?
Not hangry, but, you know, sometimes you kind of get like...
I get dips.
Slumped, you know?
Do I get hangry? No, I don't think I get hangry. I just drop off. Like, I'm just... Dropping. I'm gone. Your blood sugar I'm gone, thing. And then I, you know, have a piece of meat, and then I'm like, I'm back, baby.
I'm back. Let's talk story. About, you know...
And it's always so obvious when I get that dip. Like, okay, I got to go eat, like, right now.
All right, boys and girls. Thank you again. Do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone over on Entropy Stream as well. I think I had a couple of missed on Odyssey. I do apologize for that. I don't know why Odyssey don't let you just sort them after the latest date as they come
in. So some are buried? Is that what's happening?
Some are buried. I apologize for that. I mean, I saw one earlier, and I'm like desperately scrolling through and trying to find it. Someone said, here it is. Did I lose it again now? Oh, shit. Red Ice TV is perhaps the best media organization that there is. From Anthony Covenus. It was about 2 hours ago. Thank you, sir. Cool, appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Thank you for the library tokens. And again, I do apologize. It's like random on Odyssey. It's like 14 days ago, 3 months ago, and then it's like 1 hour ago. Anyway, so they better fix that. Otherwise, because if I miss them in the live feed, I don't see them. So anyway, thank you. If you send over an Odyssey, I do apologize for not mentioning your chat. It wasn't my intention to do so. I'll find them. I'll read them next year. Okay, boys and girls. Take care. We'll see you at redassmembers.com. Sunday then, right? Or Monday. Sunday, something like that. We'll sort it out. Take care. Refuse to jab. Stay pure blood.
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Take care.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.